If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Unless your local government has given you other instructions, turn on the radio.
Welcome to 1-800-ASK-4-ASK.
No one has the right to subject listeners to vulgarity of any nature, and profanity is strictly forbidden.
Idiot! Anyway, I can't wait to play this next song. I played it last week. It's amazing. Brand new from Doves. This is called Pounding. This is amazing.
Did you ever take photographs of these boys naked?
Naked, you mean without any clothes?
And now...
Did you ever touch the naked body of an altar boy?
What do you mean by naked?
What do you mean?
No, what do you mean?
Our feature presentation.
The guy says, what do you mean by naked?
What do you mean?
Guilty.
What do you mean?
Right? I mean...
I think he's just looking for clarification.
Naked is...
You think there's only one kind of naked, Kevin?
Yeah.
Naive.
Yeah, no, the kid had a t-shirt on.
Well,
that's not helpful.
That's not naked.
Well, perhaps
that's
socks.
Not naked.
Right, but a technicality at best.
What if he's wearing a jock strap? Not naked.
Ah, see?
When they begin.
What if he's wearing nipple tassels? Not naked.
Not, I guess that would be not naked.
So, that's, you know, true. Get your head right.
Sorry about that.
Come on in here being all brilliant
like he
and
knows
million.
Everything, right?
I've never acted like I know everything. Don't be crazy. We're going to take your calls in a second. 1-800-520-1067. That is the phone number. You get on the air, you get a prize. Most of the time, your calls are not worth the prizes that we give out.
That is true.
I got to be honest.
Is that the case today?
I don't know. No. I haven't seen the prize.
No.
And we haven't heard the calls.
You can call about, you can call about anything. Sports, over the weekend, a lot of weird.
How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
Psycho Mike's surprisingly quiet over here. I have to put this Rubik's Cube together.
But how about those Cowboys? Yeah.
I've always been quiet even when they're good, and I don't really care.
I'm going to object to that.
I accept your objection, and I second it. I raise your objection with a kick in the nads.
And I really more upset about the Jets. Being so crappy at yesterday more than
You're a Jets. You jump ship now.
No, I root for players.
Well,
more
depends
so than
who's winning. That's, you know,
I root for players more so than teams. I don't have a team because there's no LA team.
All right, so who did you like on Dallas? What player did you like on Dallas?
It was in the mid-90s when the Raiders left. After the Raiders left, I decided to kind of follow Dallas because they were so cool because they had Coke.
Right, but you just one second ago you just said you follow players.
I do.
Which one?
Sanchito, of course.
Okay, but that's with the Jets.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah,
he's
why he followed the Jets.
Jets.
I know. I was asking him what the player was, why he was following.
And then I like to root for the Falcons because of Tony Gonzalez, and that's really about it. But the Cowboys
it's convenient
are,
when the Cowboys are doing poorly,
are turning out to be more than just a disappointment. They're actually like a team in shambles. I mean,
no question.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They're just getting destroyed.
Fun to watch.
I don't remember who came up with America's team. If it was them,
I think it was them, yeah.
I mean, if it's them, then they deserve, you know, they deserve scorn.
Yes.
If it's the media, then maybe not quite so much.
They're in the same shape America's in. That's all I got to say. They are America's team.
They really are.
Nothing has ever been truer.
And you don't want to be America's team when you're like that, unfortunately. I mean, you're just, when you suck, and then everybody's just mocking you endlessly because you blow.
Yeah.
And is it true that Brett Favre got hurt again?
He got a helmet to the chin. They thought his jaw was broken initially, but it just ended up being 8 stitches on his chin. He was bleeding as they carted him off the field, but he apparently is okay. He just got some stitches in his chin, but he was knocked out of the game.
He didn't come back in.
He played great, though. Played great yesterday. Played well enough to win. The receivers dropped some balls and didn't come through for him, really, the way they could have. But
did they talk about suspending the guy that hit him with his helmet?
Because he hit him in the chest first.
Oh, okay.
It didn't lead with the helmet. Hit him in the chest, and then the helmet came up as sort of he was finishing the hit, and so it clipped him under the chin and just cut his chin open, which was a drag. I mean, it's amazing. Favre still playing on a fractured ankle.
Yeah, already
out
he's
there.
Yeah.
And still looked great. So, I mean, love or hate the guy, and a lot of people do, and I do both, depending on what day it is and what scandal's going on. One of the toughest guys in football.
He really is.
He's the Iron Man.
He's just super badass. But I have to give some props to Tavares Jackson. That was pretty manly to come in out of the blue, totally cold, when Brett Favre gets hurt. First play, throws a touchdown. Yeah. Next play, hits the two-point conversion. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he came in hard. I mean, but New England just looks like the best team in the league right now. Six and one.
Man, your tongue, that's terrible.
Once again, they know how to win. They're not the juggernaut they have been in past years, but they just know how to win games. Belichick is a great coach.
He is.
And they and Brady is one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game, and they just know what they're doing out there. I don't like it any more than you do.
They're not having fun. And I'll tell you that.
They do. They are a grim bunch.
Even when they win.
Yet winning happens.
They're not having a good time. All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Forget it on the air today. You get a pair of tickets to the NHRA Full Throat.
What? Come on!
I was thinking about a movie. I was watching
Stop
over the weekend.
It. You perv?
Should I try it again?
Yes.
A pair of tickets to the NHRA Full Throttle.
Ah, that's different.
Drag Racing Championship. That is November 11th to the 14th at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona.
The Full Throat Drag Racing Competition was going on in West Hollywood last night at the big Halloween party. I think they were in Full Throat Drag Races.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
It had to be in drag and it had to be full throat.
Hey, Lisa.
She's right here.
Oh, there's another Lisa.
Oh, hey, listener, Lisa.
Hi, what it do?
What it do?
What it do?
I just wanted to tell you guys about a party I went to and how Psycho Mike was talking about how there should be a size limit on sexy costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I saw a whole party full of XL, XL, XL sexy nurses and sexy maids and things, and it just shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem is at Halloween time, it really does incur it. All female costumes are sexy, fill in the blank.
Right.
All these add sex to it and you got a costume. But they're made for girls that can wear them and look good, and the girls that really shouldn't be wearing them and don't really look that good in them still try it.
Yeah, it was kind of scary.
But like you said, they don't have many choices when it comes to dressing up.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of worth the risk. Myself, because I mean, that really is the night when you get a lot of sexy girls, and if some of them can't quite pull it off, well, you know, it's Halloween.
And look, a girl that size, no matter what she's wearing, isn't going to be that hot. So maybe if she wears the slutty costume, she might get a little at the party. You know what I mean? She might luck out.
There you go.
Who can blame her?
So we'll give her a pass on that one, Lisa.
Sorry, Lise.
What did you go as? What were you dressed up as?
I was the Marvel comic assassin Elektra. I made it myself.
Oh, Elektra. That sounds cool. She's hot from Daredevil. Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Nicely done. All right. Hold on. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Chad. Hi, Chad.
Hey, good morning, party people.
What is
Chad?
Hey, Ralph. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Chad?
I'm doing well. So I'm a little late on the podcast. When are you going to join fantasy football, being as you're such a Twitter traitor, hypocrite, flip-flop?
I have joined the Twitter. I have joined the Twitterverse, which I said I would never do. I was talked into it by Kevin Smith. He made me do it, and I do not regret joining it. I'm having some fun on there, but fantasy football, that's just not ever going to happen.
That's so geeky.
If you're willing to try the Twitter, you got to be willing at least to try a season of the fantasy.
But, Chad, let me ask you a question about fantasy football. Do you have a team? Are you from a city?
Yes, you're right. Your argument is completely 100% right. I had to root for Matt Castle, and I'm a Chargers fan.
There you go.
I understand your point.
How do you do that? How do you do that and live with yourself?
When we play each other, I go with my team, and I forego my fantasy. I
but you don't. A little bit. You're going, come on, beat my team.
No, not in fantasy.
You're rooting for your enemies when you play fantasy football.
You're true. You have a true.
By the way, I got
it's still fun to learn about other players that you may not know about.
I can do that without playing fantasy football. I just follow sports.
You're forced to.
I don't want to be forced to do anything. I want to do something that I enjoy.
And let me tell you something else about this. This is one of those things, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, whatever sport. I got in a heated argument last week about, no. It's cool if you play fantasy football. But if you play fantasy fill-in-the-blank sport,
fantasy NASCAR,
that's geek. Those are the geeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you're all geeks. Everybody that's in fantasy football is
the Dungeons and Dragons for the ESPN crowd. Is what
not
it is.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Let's pretend. Oh, I'm going to pretend I'm an owner of a football team. Look at all the wonderful guys I have who play for me.
Are you going to draft day? Come on now, Chad.
It's a big party. You get drinks with your friends.
Sure, yeah.
Wow, I can't drink with my friends unless I play fantasy football. Good point.
Hey.
I do all the things that people who do fantasy football do, except I don't do fantasy football.
Yeah. This is the kind of stuff like we're in the 909, they go, that part of it's bad, but where I live is pretty nice.
Yeah.
You know.
Sorry, Chad.
You play fantasy sports. Good on you. Have fun, but you are a nerd.
Bring me into your world of hell.
All right, let's go to Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
What it do?
How about those Raiders?
Yeah!
3-3.
The Raiders
in a row
are unbelievable.
Raiders! Raiders! Raiders!
They've outscored opponents by a million points this year so far.
It is an upside-down world.
What happened to them, Rich?
90-something points to, what's that, 19 points in their opponents for the past two games?
What switch was flipped? I mean, they really...
McFadden came back.
McFadden.
Oh, I thought you said Madden. No. I thought you were talking about John Madden.
Came back
to coach. I'm sorry, McFadden. Yeah, but one player does not turn a season around most of the time.
Oh, he just flipped the switch. They're on fire right now.
God.
Yeah, they're playing good ball. The NFL this season is just nuts and wide open.
It's impossible to pick games.
It's anybody's year, except for Dallas.
Except for Dallas. That's true. That's really the only guarantee,
pretty
Dallas.
Much.
Even Arizona occasionally accidentally wins a game.
Yeah.
Not Dallas, man. They are committed. All right, Rich. Go Raiders.
Congratulations to the Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders.
Listen, it's hard to argue. They have been on fire.
They are celebrating in the cell blocks today. I'll tell you. There's toilet paper being thrown out of upper tiers, and the guys are banging their cups on the bars. They're having quite the party this morning.
The cars with the hydraulics are bouncing.
Such good times.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? We are going to start giving away tickets for the Kevin and Bean road trip singles party.
Yes.
Yeah. We started Friday, actually, and we're going to continue today, and it is going to be Thursday and Friday in Las Vegas, Nevada, and boy, is it going to be a good time.
Yeah, always fun. Mm-hmm. And Vegas is just a guarantee. You just know. Look, it's bad.
It could go
horribly, and yet you're in Vegas, so you can turn it around.
You were on vacation, Kevin. We were giving out tickets on Friday. We gave them to people who had horrible Vegas stories, like major Vegas fails.
Like one guy had to stay for 2 months and work that he could get home.
Because he lost all his money and his wallet and everything else. He had to get a job in Vegas to get enough money to get out of Vegas.
Oh, my God.
One guy was ripped off by a hooker. Yeah. Another girl lost two fingernails and a toenail, and she doesn't remember how it happened when she woke up. She was all bloodied and stuff. So we gave those people redemption tickets. Hopefully they'll have a better time in Vegas.
I like it. You guys are aware now that our party is going to be full of those people.
Well, that's what we decided. We weren't going to do that anymore. We said, let's give out tickets to people who had great times in Vegas. So we'll be taking your success stories later on today when we give out those tickets.
There you go. So we have that coming up also. This morning we have Petros Papadakis in the studio talking sports. And there's a lot of it with hockey and soccer and football and World Series and
basketball.
Basketball. Unbelievable. Everything's back all at the same time. We're also going to do a new feature today called Ask Ozzy.
Yeah, well, Ozzy's got a new self-help health column in Rolling Stone magazine. He's going to be their lifestyle coach.
And I can see that. I mean, he's got a lot of good advice
as far as
diet.
Look at the shape the guy's in. If you look at his age for how he is, you can see why you would look to him for health and diet and exercise advice. Because he is just, he's the Brett Favre of rock and roll.
He really is. And he lives it. That's the thing. I mean, you can see it on his face.
In great shape.
And Eli Manning is going to be a father. I did not hear that news.
Did you hear about that? Yeah. He's going to have a little baby.
Was it a surprise or was
it? Was to Eli, I'm sure. I don't think he's got that whole system quite figured out yet.
Plus, we'll talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and get an update from him. We'll take a break now and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is now. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. And it is 5:52. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph is here for a look at the Showbiz Beat for the first time this week. What's going on, Ralph?
It's Monday, so we always take a look at the hot movies at the box office and see what people are going to see at the Cineplexes. Saw 3D, no surprise there, was number one in its debut over the Halloween weekend. $24.2 million. People went to see Jigsaw have his final adventure.
You want to play a game?
There we go. Yeah! That's what we were missing so much last week.
Was it? Just that?
Just your amazing Jigsaw impression? Where he sounds vaguely Argentinian. Sorry. I don't know.
Would you like to play a game? Would you like to pick some coffee beans?
I've done some deep research on Jigsaw.
Paranormal Activity dropped to number two this week. Paranormal Activity 2 dropped to number two this week with $16.5 million.
Did you guys see that before we move on? Did you see that one?
No.
Paranormal Activity 2?
No.
About the first half of the movie, weird things happen with the little pool cleaning hose that goes around the swimming pool.
Oh, that's scary.
The lights are on, you know, and then all of a sudden it's the next morning, it's out, you know, and the guy goes and puts it back in. And it's kind of freaking out. And literally within 2 or 3 days of seeing that movie, we installed one of those
automatic pool cleaners.
Yeah, and no one told me. So I just looked outside and I'm like, how long have we had one of those automatic pool cleaners? Because that was the beginning of all the tension in that movie.
You thought a demon was following
you
because
peek out the window,
pool was clean.
And there it is.
Where it is.
Is it still in? Okay, good. I'm fine. It was bizarre.
That's creepy.
That was a good movie, though.
Scary pool cleaners.
Yeah.
Red was number three at the box office. The Bruce Willis action-adventure film made $10.8 million. Jackass 3D was fourth. Hereafter came in at number five. Secretariat was sixth. Then The Social Network, Life as We Know It, The Town, and Conviction, rounding out your top ten. The box office this weekend, I don't know if you caught any of it, but Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert had their rally to restore sanity and or fear at the mall in Washington, D.C. this weekend. The mall was packed with fans who came out to attend the event and also try to rally for some reasonable discussion when it comes to political discourse in this country. Well, that's what Jon Stewart wants. Stephen Colbert just wanted more fear.
Yeah.
That's what he was rallying for. Estimates are about 215,000 people showed up.
Really?
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
3-hour mix of comedy music was not political, which is kind of cool to hear. The highlights, according to the Atlantic magazine, Stephen Colbert emerged on stage in a capsule, just like a Chilean miner. That's how he showed up on stage, which was cool. Colbert wrote a poem called Mein Poem. It was read by Sam Waterston, which I thought was funny. Yusuf Islam, better known perhaps as Cat Stevens, he was on stage with Ozzy Osbourne. They did duets on Peace Train and Crazy Train. Then they were joined by the band The OJs, who sang Love Train. So there was a lot of train music.
So it was
going
a train?
On. Yeah, they should have train come by. That would have been good.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
R2-D2 made an appearance. Jon Stewart tried to sing, for which he said, I'm very sorry that you had to hear me sing. It was a lot of fun had by all, so congratulations to those guys. Speaking of politics, could there be a female vice president of the United States? Well, of course there could.
Sure.
And that's the subject of a new HBO series they've just announced. They are doing a new series over on HBO called Veep, which is about the first female vice president of the United States, and it looks like Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in talks for the lead.
She's not going to be the next vice president as a woman. She's going to do it, you say?
She's going to play the role in a TV series.
There's no way she could win the vote.
Well, I don't say she's. I see here, Kevin. I think you're mistaken. I think you might be confused. She's not actually running for vice president.
She's got skeletons, man. There's no
possible
way.
She's not running for vice president of the country. She'll be an actress in a series about a female vice president.
I'm not following you.
Is it supposed to be funny?
I believe it's supposed to be a dramedy. It's supposed to be funny and dramatic.
It's funny. They've gone to vice president because every series with a female president has failed. So they go,
science
all right,
fiction,
let's go
that's
down
why.
To vice president.
Fiction.
All right, Secretary of State, because that's really happened.
And speaking of HBO, I don't know if you guys caught Bill Maher's show this weekend, but they were talking about the discussion of the legalization of marijuana. And during the conversation, Zach Galifianakis pulled a joint out, lit it up, and started smoking it on national television.
That's why he's the best.
We think it may be the first time a celebrity has ever really smoked a joint on television. And everyone there was taken aback, and everyone there confirmed that it was the real deal. So it wasn't just a stunt. It was
that's
Zach,
so funny.
Zach getting high in the Bill Maher show.
What were we doing our 420 show?
Sure.
Be real.
Oh.
Came out with that joint.
Oh, giant joint.
They had to light it in the back of the room, and it was in his mouth. It was that big.
If anybody in the office can hear me, if you can pull in my birthday list, I'd appreciate it. I think it's sitting on my desk. So I'm going to do a couple more stories, and then we'll talk about the celebrity birthdays. Pauly D from Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. Has himself a pretty plum gig. Apparently, he will be spinning. He will be
Ralph's over there.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Ralph.
Just
nice
ran
to
right
meet
by
you.
Yeah.
Hand it to me. we got a banner crop.
Paulie D from Jersey Shore will be spinning at the Disney Grad Night 2011 at Disney World's Magic Kingdom in Florida this spring. So, if nothing else, he's got a job coming up next spring. Which is good.
Well, good
news
for
Paulie D.
That is good.
I don't know if those girls will be DTF or not there in Disneyland, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Certainly hope so.
And, you know, Kevin, you were gone, but we were talking significantly last week about Willow Smith and her flipping hair back and forth. She's
wild.
She's
that
nine,
way.
And she's got a hit single that a lot of the R&B stations are playing because they're scared not to. Because her dad's Will Smith and Jay-Z is the producer behind her music. And we're talking about whether some celebrity parents create brats or not by giving them everything their little hearts desire when they're kids. Ben Stiller and Christine Taylor are going out of their way to make sure that does not happen. It's kind of a cool story out of People magazine. They're encouraging their kids to get active and do what they want too, but instead of giving them movie careers and recording careers, their 8-year-old daughter Ella, they have her open her own business to raise money for charity.
Wow.
So she's got a lemonade stand apparently in their neighborhood, and This past week, she raised $127 for charity, and she gives it all away. And so she's trying to, they're trying to teach their kid about giving back and giving something to charity as opposed to flipping your hair back and forth and being the Karate Kid.
Willow drives past that lemonade stand, whipping her hair back and forth.
She does. And then she,
look at this!
And then she throws gold records at her. Sticks in the side of it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Jenny McCarthy is 38 years old today. Actress. Who wrote this list? Actress Jenny McCarthy.
I don't know, but they handed it to me.
American Idol runner-up Bo Bice. He's 35 years old today. Penn Badgley of Gossip Girl turns 24. Actress Toni Collette is 38 years old today. Drummer Rick Allen of Def Leppard. He's 47 years old today. He's got one arm.
One arm. Yeah. Didn't stop him from drumming.
One arm drummer. Pretty impressive. And singer Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers celebrates his 48th birthday today. Anthony, hey, Anthony's in the studio. Anthony, how are you planning on celebrating your birthday?
Well, smuggin' a bing a bing dong gang, whack a boom doom doom, dig a dong dang dong, California.
Oh, that sounds great. Mm. Hope I got my invitation.
Wish I could be there.
Ralph Garman, I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, the day after the Halloween, and we're going to give away some tickets to our singles party coming up here in just a couple of minutes with your Halloween disaster stories.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe your costume caught on fire. Who knows? We've been at parties where one of our friends got hit in the head with a beer bottle.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. You know, the police show up. It can go horribly wrong. Yep. So we're going to take your calls in a few minutes. If you'd like to join us in Las Vegas for the Kevin and Bean Road Trip to Vegas singles party or whatever it's called, let's talk about football for just a second. Eli Manning, of course, is the quarterback of the New York Giants. Brother Peyton for the Colts. Dad, Archie, used to play quarterback. It's in the family. Mm-hmm. But the story that came out, I believe last week, was that Eli Manning and his wife are expecting their first child. So we thought we would check in. We have a pretty good relationship with Eli. We thought we would check in with him and just find out what's going on. Hello.
Trick or treat.
Eli.
Trick or treat.
Right. That was last night.
Give me candy.
That was last night.
Hi.
How are you?
Give me candy.
Right. But it's already over now. This
trick or treat. Smell right. My feet. Give me candy.
Right. Listen, that was last night, though, is what we're saying.
Oh.
It's over.
Oh. That's... Yeah. I dressed like a football player for Halloween.
Yeah. That's pretty creative.
I had the costume right here in my cabinet.
Now, Eli, you were off this week, right? You didn't have a game?
Yeah.
Okay. We see the report late last week that you and your wife, Abby.
Abby Normal.
Is that her name?
No, that's what I call her.
How long have you been?
She's not smart.
She's not smart?
No.
How long have you been married to her?
Yes.
Okay. Apparently, Abby and you are expecting a child.
Yes.
You're going to have.
There's going to be a baby. They told me.
Right.
Yes.
And were you surprised? Have you been trying for a while?
I don't even know how it happened.
You don't know how it happens.
No.
Oh.
They say it comes from having love.
Right.
And then you go into a cabbage patch, and then you get a baby.
I don't...
Where's the cabbage patch
going? I'm not sure about
that. That's where I banged her. We were in a farm and I banged her in a cabbage patch.
Okay, so you did have sex with her.
Yeah. Right,
that was my first question. I didn't
She's
know.
My wife.
I know that.
What else are they good for?
We have... we've talked to you before where you see... It seemed like you were a little afraid of...
Yes, but then I learned how to do it.
Okay.
And I am good.
You're good.
That's what I say.
So there's no way it looks like Peyton. That's my...
No!
I'm just asking.
No!
All right.
Do you know when a black person and a white person have a baby, that's how they get referees?
No, I don't think that's true.
It is.
I don't think that's
true. That's why they're striped.
I don't think that's how it works.
They come out striped white and black, half and half.
That's not really how that... I think they're just wearing a shirt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you're not buying that?
I hope I don't have a boy.
Okay.
Because then when he comes out with a helmet on, it'll hurt my wife.
Oh.
Well, why do you want it to hurt her?
I don't want that. That's why I don't want a boy.
Oh, I see.
Because he'll come out with a helmet.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's how it works.
If I have a boy, I'm going to name him Cleet.
Cleet.
Yes.
Cleet Manning.
Cleet.
Cleek.
Cleek. No. Cleet.
Cleet.
Cleet. Who's the retarded one here?
That's a good question.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and a few minutes ago, Ralph was talking, and he was saying that we were going to give away some singles tickets because we have Kevin and Bean's Vegas Road Trip Singles Party at the Luxor.
Yes.
And Ralph said that we were going to take calls from people who had some kind of Halloween disaster.
No,
and that's how we were going to do it. No, I was sitting over thinking, what's the tie-in? I don't understand.
That may have been you, Kevin.
What?
That may have been you, in fact, who said that. And there's no tie-in there. That's not how we're giving away
those
tickets.
We're not giving away the tickets.
We're giving away next hour for people who had very successful trips to Vegas. You want to hear about your most successful Vegas trips.
Okay, so that's...
Because we're going to be in Vegas for the singles party.
But we're not doing that now.
No.
Okay.
No, this is what we do. After every holiday, we like to talk to people who had disastrous holidays. Because you're supposed to have a great time in the holidays. Christmas, New Year's, your birthday. It's supposed to be one of the best days of the year. And we find it endlessly funny when people go out with the best of intentions. Yeah. They go out to party. They're all ready to go. They have high expectations for their evening. And then things go horribly, horribly, horribly wrong.
Anytime you put that much more energy into a specific day, it can disappoint.
Yes.
But more than normal. So that's the fun of it. So if you have some Halloween fails, we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We had a friend of ours, Matt Money Smith.
Yes.
Who got a bottle over the head on Halloween night.
Yeah. And it wasn't one of those fake, candy glass bottles that all the prop people love so much.
No, no.
That would have been funny on Halloween because it would have been like a fake bottle to the head.
You know, it occurs to me that every single story that I can relate back to involved alcohol in some way.
That's a given.
They almost all do.
So we were having a party. I think Orgy was playing. The band Orgy was playing. And some of their hangers-on were going to the bathroom. And they accused Matt of trying to cut in line or something.
Yeah, it was something stupid.
The next thing I knew, there was blood all over the floor. And I was, what happened? And he got hit in the head with a beer bottle. And
it was bizarre.
The band ran on the bus. And my friend, who was drunk, was like, I'll go find him. I was like, you weren't even in the bathroom. You didn't even see who did it. And he got on their bus. And he was walking. Who did it? Police were there. It was just, it was fun.
Good times.
So that's the kind of stuff we're looking for.
Yeah.
You know. But if something really tragically happened, like let's say if our friend Money had been murdered with the bottle.
Right. We wouldn't tell that story.
Wouldn't be a funny story.
Not as funny.
It's kind of funny now because he's fine. So we want to make sure you're fine. Because we don't want to feel bad for you. We want to laugh at you.
Or if you're maimed, but you have a good sense of humor about it.
Yeah, that's
you're okay
too.
With your handicap, then that's okay.
Just don't expect us to be emotionally mature.
Right.
I think that's the warning. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. Let's start with John. Hello, John.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Good, John. How'd your Halloween go?
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to do it.
You didn't get it? Oh, good. This is one of those that got prematurely interrupted.
Yeah, I was dressed up as a mariachi player.
Good. Hold on. Were you going by yourself as a mariachi player, or did you have three or four friends?
No, you know what? They told me it was going to be a costume party, and then no one else dressed up. Even worse.
And you're a mariachi guy.
How awful.
Did they do that to you just to play a prank on you, or...
No, they're just lazy.
All right, good.
Let's just go with that.
All right. You're the only one that shows up. You're a mariachi player.
That's right. And I had this old beat-up trumpet that you could get noise out of, but it didn't sound good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're at this gated community, and they're like, play it, play the trumpet. So I start blasting notes out of it, and they called the cops, and I got cited. The neighbors called the cops.
Oh, the neighbors, okay.
Yeah, and I got cited and fined and kicked out.
Oh, my God.
This was early in the night?
Yeah, it was like 10 o'clock. We're Middle Eastern, so we get together. That's like normal.
Yeah, 10, right. 10 o'clock is, you're just getting ready to, you still have the shirt before the shirt at 10. I mean, you know, you're not even going out yet.
It wasn't enough just to tell you to stop. They had to fine you and kick you out.
I'm guessing that John didn't stop when warned. All right, isn't that the part he's leaving out?
What happened, John?
There might have been some, like, shut up yelling from there.
Sure,
but, I mean,
but that just encouraged you to play more bad trumpet.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was the cucaracha. You're excited.
Listen, yeah, who isn't excited to play a lot of cucaracha?
How often do you get a chance to blast that and get thrown out of a party? All right. Good times, John. Good work.
Good
thank
Halloween
you.
For John.
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. So you had Halloween go horribly wrong. It could have been this year. That's best case scenario. But could have been years past. Jerry, hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Jerry.
What happened?
I was at a party in 2006,
mm-hmm.
completely dressed as Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav!
Gold teeth, big clock.
Sure. Kevin went as Flavor Flav.
I was Flavor Flav,
Flav
too, yeah.
Yeah.
I leave the party thinking, oh, I'm okay. I get on my truck, I'm driving, my lights aren't on.
Uh-oh.
So I get pulled over by the cops.
Yeah.
I get a DUI. Congrats on Flavor Flav.
Oh, you got taken in as Flavor Flav?
They took you in?
I get taken in, dressed as Flavor Flav. I'm in there for hours, dressed as Flavor Flav. They took away my clock, but they didn't take away my teeth.
What?
So I'm in the drunk tank with gold teeth, trading them for blankets so I can get a pillow.
Oh, nice.
Trading your teeth.
He had him to barter with for the barter system.
That's awesome.
Listen, if you don't rape me, I'll give you my grill.
Did you tell everyone you were the real Flavor Flav when you were inside?
Well, no, I was just sitting there. I was so drunk that by the time I realized that, okay, wait, I think I'm in jail.
Yeah.
It took a while for
you to even realize you were in jail, and yet when you got in your truck, you thought, I'm good.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, you know, Jack Daniels just snuck up on me.
Yeah, sure. I know all about that.
Yeah.
I know how Jack can sneak up on you like that.
It does.
That
it did, believe
well,
me.
Those of you well, that don't drink and drive.
Those of you that don't drink, when you feel great, you're not peaked yet. There's still a little more drunkenness coming.
Yeah. So. And depending on the length of your drive, it can hit you at the worst, most inopportune times.
Right.
That's what happened. And it was horrible because I was there the whole... It was a Friday night. No, it was a Saturday night. I was there all Sunday. I didn't get out till Sunday night because my blood alcohol was so... They weren't able to measure it.
They weren't able to measure it?
So I had to wait.
What do you mean they weren't
able?
They hadn't invented a machine that could count that high yet?
No, it was blowing two different amounts.
That's what she
level.
Said.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So you couldn't get the same level twice and that's your fault?
Yeah, their machine couldn't read my alcohol level, so they had to clear me for 16 hours.
This is clearly a case of pulling you over because of the color of your skin, right?
Who's with me on that? And the clock.
Jared, did they take a mugshot of you dressed as Flavor Flav when they arrested you?
Yep.
Oh. We need that. Can you can you email us that picture?
I'd get T-shirts
made. I don't have it. I never got it. I never got the mugshot.
Isn't it public domain?
I don't think they give it to you, Kevin, as a parting gift when you leave.
No, I know that. But a nice frame.
Can I get an 8x10 and some wallet sizes too?
That's how my brother found me. He found a picture of me online.
All right, I want you to search for that. I want you to send us that. That's awesome.
I'll try again.
How do you not? Ralph had a great idea. How do you not make up T-shirts with your face as Flavor Flav in a mugshot? That's brilliant.
I didn't think about it. I was thinking about where you're going to get your next drink.
Yeah. All right. Nice work, Jerry.
All right. Thank
you. Bye. 1-800-520-1067. Your Halloween went horribly wrong. We will take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 6:35.
Hey.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to a Monday edition. We have your tickets for the Kevin and Bean Vegas Road Trip Singles Party at the Luxor Las Vegas coming up just after the top of the hour.
We're going to take
your calls about your best Vegas moments. That's how we're going to let you in.
Yeah.
And then Thursday we're going, and Friday morning we're going to do the show from there. And those shows are always top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really just...
Especially for you.
Yeah, Kevin is at his best, really, in Vegas early in the morning on a Friday trying to do a show.
They're our best shows, I think.
I mean that. That is your best. That's when we like you the most.
We get a kick out of it. I'm not sure if the listening audience enjoys it as much as we
do. I think they do.
Really?
I do. I get that they really enjoy it.
I don't have very many memories of it, to be honest. I don't remember what happened. All right, we're taking your calls right now, though, about Halloween fails. And we have Sean on the line. Hello, Sean.
How's it going?
Good.
Sean, tell us about your worst Halloween.
Me and my three buddies, when we were a little underage and a little too drunk, I guess you could say, went out bag snapping, and my best friend. Explain
explain to people who don't understand that what that means.
Jack in the kid's bag.
Yeah, so you run by a little kid.
You steal his candy.
No, they weren't that little. They're like 14.
Still.
too old to be trick-or-treating.
Yep. Okay,
but
so
you're
they're
not too old to be bag snatching?
No. No, listen. Sean has to teach him a lesson.
You're older than them at the time.
So you're 15, they're 14, and you're running by and grabbing their bags of candy and running.
Yep.
Okay, good. So far, so good.
Good for you.
And when my best friend, decided to go in after me and my other friend had already gone in to snatch bags from him, this guy was a little late to the party, so all of them teamed up on him. Well, when he was trying to rip the bag away, he ended up breaking the kid's thumb.
Oh.
And that kid happened to have a dad who was the district attorney at the time.
Oh, wrong thumb to break.
So we ended up getting on probation for a year over it.
So charges were pressed, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you use the defense of, hey, they're too old to trick or treat? Did you use that defense?
Really. No. How about he should have let go of the bag?
Yeah, pretty much.
That would have been my defense. It's candy. It's not worth losing a digit over.
Well, I'm guessing it was wrapped around his hand or something. Who knows? I mean, I don't think a kid's going to fight.
The best thing was he was in a cheerleader outfit. And he's got about the hairiest legs you ever seen.
Yeah, you did the right thing then. You needed to teach him a lesson on many, many different points. So good work.
We were debating last week, Kevin, whether whether you should give candy to kids who are too old or not. You know,
What's too old? I would say teenagers.
That's what really we were would. Saying. Yeah. But I was thinking that last night as I was at my house and I saw Batman show up along with the Joker and Poison Ivy, and Batman needed a shave.
Yeah.
I kid you not. It's like, this dude should not be getting any candy from me.
Well, I don't think my parents let me after I was like 11 or something.
Well, why would you
really
want to? That's what we were talking about.
Free candy.
Candy.
What do you mean, why would you want to?
Yeah, but I was making the point that once you get to be 12, you know, kind of in the double digits, you start to want to do adult stuff and not go out and trick-or-treat. You transition into bag snatching.
Okay,
that's what Halloween
turns
into.
That's what it's about.
Yes.
That is what it's about, especially if there are kids out there that need to be taught a lesson. And Sean did the right thing. He's a great American.
Speaking of
for doing that.
Halloween fails, I think you have one, don't you?
I totally forgot about this, but as you guys were talking about it, mine doesn't even involve alcohol or anything.
What?
How is
that possible?
Especially a story regarding you.
Yes. I know. I was in junior high school, and there was like a community school-sanctioned costume ball. And I decided, this was right in the midst of the O.J. Simpson murder trial and controversy.
Okay, now right in the middle of it. So he had killed them. Was it before the trial?
Right, before the trial. This was
after
like a slow speed chase, Al Cowling's driving, okay. Talking to the press time.
Okay, so he hadn't even had a day in court yet.
No.
So it was after the big Bronco chase. Okay.
And I thought, oh, I got to go as O.J. So I wore like the isotoner glove. I've got a fake knife with blood on it, the sock. I even had like a like an esthetician would use, like one of those heads. It was a blonde lady's head.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
And went like, the whole way.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally, it was totally class.
You get credit.
And
you
I thought I was like, so
commitment.
Funny.
I hope
you know.
At least you put blackface on, too.
Well, no, I didn't. My parents would have just cracked.
Oh, but that's where they were fine.
So wait. So my
carrying
parents,
a bloody head around there, all right? With blackface, no. We're going to draw the line somewhere.
So I waited till I left the house, and then my friends burnt cork and put blackface on me when I got there.
Man.
And when I got to the party, I realized very quickly that one of the chaperones of that party in the community was very close friends with Nicole Brown Simpson's family.
Oh,
and she came up and just dug into me. I mean, like ripped me a new one. And even at that,
and what are you, like 13?
Yeah, exactly. And even at that, like, punk-ass phase of my life, like, there was nothing I could say. I was like, oh, man.
You
like,
realized what an a-hole
you
were?
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? You're like, no, this is insensitive. I mean, it was just like, it ruined me. And not only ruined that night, like, for, like, weeks after, I was like, man, I'm a terrible little kid.
Did you ask her for candy?
No, I didn't. I didn't have the balls to do that.
That would have been. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We do have tickets for you, and this time I mean it. I'm not just making stuff up.
This is Welcome Back Kevin Show.
Kevin and Bean's Vegas Road Trip Singles Party at the Luxor Las Vegas. We're going to give away tickets coming up just after the top of the hour, about 10 minutes, and we're going to do it with your best Vegas moments.
Okay.
Yes.
Success moments.
And we rarely take those because they're not as funny, but your best Vegas moments.
But it would be nice to hear because a lot of people, we all go to Vegas, and usually you come home exhausted, hungover, and broke.
Yes.
Just out of cash, out of time, out of patience.
By the way, you're out of cash a third of the way through your trip. However long you're going to be there, about a third of the way you're out.
Right.
So now what do you do?
So people who had just, you know, who fumbled into great parties or met celebrities and hung out with them or had giant cash wins for a jackpot on a slot machine or something, we'd like to get some encouraging stories so that when we go later this week, we all can go with high expectations that will be dashed by the end of the trip.
Then we will be depressed early. But,
yes, but you'll hope will spring eternal with these stories.
So 1-800-520-1067. We will do that right after the top of the hour. First, it's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman.
It's Monday morning, which means we take a look at the hot movies at the box office to see how much they made. And Saw 3D, no surprise there, was the number one movie over the Halloween weekend. $24.2 million made it number one in its debut. We talked to Tobin Bell last week, Kevin, and he was, I think, a little sad to say goodbye to the character of Jigsaw.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
You think this is not the final one?
They're the Brett Favre of movies.
they keep saying they're going away, and then they come back.
Yeah.
Paranormal Activity 2 was second at the box office, $16.5 million. Red was third, with a little over $10 million, then Jackass 3D. Hereafter was fifth. Secretariat was sixth. The Social Network, Life as We Know It, The Town, and Conviction, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Rumors are going around that Lindsay Lohan is broke and can't afford the pricey treatment she's getting inside the Betty Ford Center while she's undergoing her rehab.
That is not surprising to me.
So several people are stepping up and willing to help Lindsay pay her rehab bill.
Wow.
One of them is PETA.
Oh.
They will give her $20,000 right? if she declares that she's now a vegetarian and will no longer eat any sort of meat. How can Lindsay Lohan stop eating the meat?
That's true.
That's what I'm wondering.
That is true.
Now, they said they'll give her $10,000 if she becomes a vegetarian while undergoing her treatment inside Betty Ford. She'll get the other 10 if she commits to it for the remainder of her days.
So, I like meat.
They said, you know, part of your recovery is to conquer her addiction to meat and cheese, PETA says.
She's addicted to cheese as well?
Well, apparently she eats cheeseburgers and whatnot. Oh. You know, steak tacos, pepperoni pizza, the like. And PETA says if she will give up her addiction to meat and cheese while she's trying to kick her cocaine addiction, they will give her $20,000 towards her rehab bills.
Now, I don't know how much Betty Ford is, but I do know that some of these top rehab places are $20,000 to $30,000 a month.
Yeah.
A month.
That's crazy money.
Yeah.
I'll do it for like $20.
You'll rehab her?
I'll rehab her.
Sure. Yes,
I will keep her busy. She will have no time for cocaine in my rehab. Now, she's got other options as well. The porn site tube8.com.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
They need a, they got a marketing position open. And they would like to hire her to be their new marketing consultant.
I like meat.
And they said they're willing to give her up to $48,000 for her services.
All right.
What do they entail?
They just want her to help market their website.
That's seems good.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Lindsay Lohan. Go to tube8.com and see some porn. That's all that she had to say for $48,000.
That seems good.
I do that, but they don't want me.
They don't want me either. And I'm a customer of their site, by the way. Excellent free porn site. One of my favorites. So, yeah, she's getting all kinds of offers, but no word yet on whether she will take any of it.
So it's tube, A-T-E?
Tube?
Yeah.
Eight, the number eight.
Oh, the number eight.
The number okay. eight. All right. Not eating a tube.
Yeah.
Just saying it's porn.
Eight. All right. Number 8.com. Yeah.
They do I good. Like meat.
Do good work over there. Kevin, I know you don't care.
Baseball?
No.
Oh.
But a lot of us were excited when HBO aired this documentary on Bruce Springsteen and the creation of his Darkness on the Edge of Town album.
I taped that.
It was fascinating.
I have it on my TiVo.
I'm surprised that you would even bother to TiVo it.
It looked interesting.
It was very interesting. I mean, I don't think you're a big Bruce fan.
I'm not.
Bean and I are big Springsteen fans. But it was interesting to see the behind the scenes of making of a classic album. And this was really before anybody was doing that kind of behind the scenes stuff. This was the album he made after Born to Run, which was his big smash hit. He got into some legal issues, a big lawsuit with his manager and stuff, so he couldn't make an album for like 3 years later.
Ah.
So he didn't know whether people would remember who he was or if anybody would care, and it's how they put this album together. Pretty fascinating stuff, but people were wondering how anyone would think to videotape this process back then before anyone knew anybody would be interested.
When was that, mid-80s?
Yeah, I guess.
Early 80s?
Yeah, early 80s. Turns out that Springsteen was talking about the documentary, and he said the reason that it was captured on video is because there was just a kid who lived in his neighborhood who used to come up and bug him all the time, was a fan, said that he wanted to be a filmmaker.
Right.
And he had a video camera, and he said, can I video you? And he said, yeah, you can come into the studio and videotape anything. Just stay out of the way, and you can videotape anything you want.
What?
So the guy shot hours and hours and hours of video. This kid is a teenager.
And he went back to his teacher, and he said, yeah, I got Springsteen. And they're like, yeah, sure.
And he just sat on the footage for 30 years.
What?
Just sat on it. So Springsteen, he eventually was contacted by this kid, who's now a man, and said, you know, I've got all these videotapes. And Springsteen said, I'll buy them off you. And paid him a really nice chunk of change and then put this documentary together. So he said it was so cool to see that footage because, you know, all those years had gone by. Yeah. And the guy just had him in a box, just waiting, I guess, for the right time. So
that's bizarre.
It is bizarre. And more music news. Michael Jackson is back in the news, believe it or not.
I like meat.
don't know if you remember the story or not, but the Gardner Street Elementary School at one time had named their school auditorium the Michael Jackson Auditorium.
Right.
Then, of course, you know, Michael was arrested in 2003 for molesting children.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
So they covered up his name with a piece of plywood.
How much more low rent could they have gone?
None.
Paint
schools
over
have
it.
No money.
That's what you do when a hurricane's coming and you want to protect your windows,
it's
right?
It's a can of spray paint.
They were waiting to see if he would be acquitted or not.
Well, Lisa, they have since this weekend removed the plywood.
And it's back to normal?
And they are reclaiming the name back to the Michael Jackson Auditorium at the Gardner Street Elementary School here in Los Angeles. I guess they figured their kids are safe now.
Wow.
Yeah. So Michael was a student there in 1969.
Yeah, 69.
And he returned in 89 when the auditorium was dedicated to him, and then they covered it up, and now they are happy once again.
Returned in 90 and 91 and 92 and 93.
To link Michael Jackson's name with their school. They're very happy to do so.
95.
He spent a lot of time hanging around that elementary school. They just don't know why.
He earned it.
And the next time you call Washington politicians clowns, think about the poor feelings of real clowns.
This is not a real story. Do not tell me this is a real story.
Kinko the Clown has come forward. He works for the Bindle Stiff Family Circus in New York City.
Sure.
He had a press conference this week.
No, he didn't.
Trying to defend the rights of clowns everywhere who are tired of Washington, D.C. politicians being called clowns.
Oh, you.
Kevin, he says it hurts clowns' feelings.
Nothing hurts clowns' feelings. They're always happy.
When people call politicians clowns because think about the clowns.
No.
Before you call a politician a clown, Kinko said this weekend, consider how hard a clown works.
No.
And that clowns make people happy.
No.
He also said that politicians could learn a thing or two from the circus. Stop all the fighting is one of the lessons.
No.
And don't take yourself too seriously. So the clowns have something to say about politicians as we go to Election Day tomorrow?
No!
I just need Election Day to be over. I need that to happen.
You know, once it's over, that's just the midterms. Then we got to gear up to 2012 for the big presidential election.
Nope!
But don't we have a small break?
No.
Like a week,
a week.
Maybe.
Yeah, they're going to go right into
on.
It. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Why not? It's just birthdays.
No!
Penn Badgley of Gossip Girl is 24 years old today. No, he broke up with Blake Lively.
I heard that.
Blake Lively and Penn Badgley.
Yeah.
Long together.
Yeah.
Greatest names in showbiz. Jenny McCarthy is 38 years old today, as is actress Toni Collette from the United States of Tara. Rick Allen, drummer for Def Leppard. One of the most inspiring stories in rock and roll. He lost an arm and kept on drumming for the band. He is 47 years old today. And Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers celebrates his 48th birthday. Anthony, what are the big plans for your 48th birthday today? What do you got going
on? Wacka bang dana, wicked doom smacker, schmickety dang boogity boom bong wacka, California.
Wow, that sounds great.
I'd like to join.
You better get a designated driver.
Oh, boom boom.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we have a singles party. We've done these many times because it seems like it's impossible for good guys to meet good girls and good girls to meet good guys. Everywhere you go, the girls say, I run into nothing but douchebags.
Right. Yeah.
And then the guys say, I run into nothing but douchebags. I mean, basically, it's the same story. And
yes.
So at least this way, everyone that goes is single. You have the same taste in music, be it good or bad, it's the same. So
right.
At least you've got a couple of things in common. This time it is a Vegas road trip singles party at the Luxor Las Vegas, and we're going to be going on Thursday and staying through Saturday, so you have plenty of time to do some damage.
And one of our sponsors is the movie Due Date with Zach Galifianakis and Robert Downey Jr., which looks hilarious, by the way, and they go on an extensive road trip across the country together, so we thought it would be appropriate to do a road trip and go to Las Vegas and celebrate.
I'm renting a party bus and taking all you regulars to Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas.
It's Kevin and Beans.
Vegas.
Road trip.
Singles party.
All right, we are looking for good stories. Best Vegas moments.
Yeah, those moments that you hope you'll have when you get to Vegas, but most of us rarely do. You get there and something amazing happens that you get a chance to tell all your friends about when you come home instead of just, I lost my rent money and my wallet and a fingernail.
I had an almost great moment where I was playing slots and playing slots and playing slots, dollar slots. And you got to play three at a time.
You got to play the dollar slots.
Right? So but that eats up your money
really fast.
And there was a woman over my shoulder. She was waiting for the machine. I was angry. I was like, you can have it. First pull, $10,000.
No!
$10,000
No.
First pull.
That's lights why you never off. Watch. I can't. If I'm leaving a machine, I run away from that machine
the
as quickly
go
as possible.
The sirens. It was.
He flick you off.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I don't want to see anyone win on a machine that I've been sitting
all
at.
All the people come over from their ticket and picture.
$10,000
Yeah. So I was close, but didn't
that's
really
a big fail story. That's what we don't want. Right. We don't want those stories. We want the person who sat down after you.
Yeah.
We want them to call in.
Yeah.
Say I was behind a guy with a giant head, a giant bleached blonde head, and he moved his giant head out of the way of the machine, and I sat down right after him and won $10,000.
I couldn't even see the machine. All right, let's start with Shane. Hi, Shane.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, last time I went to Vegas, actually, I don't know what happened, but everything I touched seemed to pour money out at me.
Is that right?
Slot machines, the craps tables were just on fire.
So you played a bunch of different games, and they all paid.
Everything paid. But by the end of the weekend, I ended up coming back with over $6,000.
$6,000?
How much did you go there with? How much was in your pocket when you started?
$800.
$800. Turned $800 into
wow.
$6,000.
See, but nice. Here's the thing about great Vegas stories. That's going to bring him back to Vegas for the rest of his life, and he's going to pour $100,000 back into Vegas.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. They're going to make money off this guy, but just he always has that one day.
I'm impressed that you got home with $6,000. It seems like there's so much to do in Vegas that you would blow it all or play something else.
No, I blew a couple $1,000, too, just going nuts on everything, buying my friends everything. Every table I was at, I was buying drinks.
And still, yeah, well, I can buy drinks at tables. They're free. But,
well, I mean, just ordering anything anybody wanted.
Like, I got you.
So like, you probably won a bunch more. You came home with six, but you probably won closer to eight or nine, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, tons. Like,
strong.
I blew so much money. I was just giving it away.
That's awesome.
Everyone I went with us.
You know, I've had those moments in Vegas where I cannot lose, but it only lasts about a day, and I'm usually there for three.
Right.
So the first day, I think, oh, this is the one. This is my chance. This is my story.
This is the trip that's going to turn it around.
And then it all goes away.
How long were you there, Shane?
3 days.
Three days. That's a run.
My rule for Vegas is if you can stay a day, it's probably best because you're either going to be down enough that you should go home or you're going to be up enough that you should go home.
Yeah.
If you stay, you give it back. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yes, Mike.
Heaven, how can you forget about our ultimate Vegas win?
What?
It had nothing to do with gambling.
Ultimate
but
Vegas
I think
win.
Partying with Michael Jackson is pretty awesome.
Michael Jackson?
When was this?
Kevin and I partied with Michael Jackson.
I don't remember
what?
This
for real,
at all.
Though. For real, though.
I don't even remember this story.
We had a Maxim party for one of the MTV Movie Awards when it was out in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And Alex, Kevin, and I are hanging out. And all of a sudden, I don't know, 30 Las Vegas policemen walk in. And so we go up to him and we're like, hey, why is so many cops here? And he's like, no, because of Mr. Jackson. And Kevin, Alex, and I turn around and 4 feet away from us is Michael Jackson.
Huh.
Like the real Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Well, seeing a dude and partying with him are a little different.
No, but
did you
they
sit
didn't,
at his
no.
table and do shots of Jaeger?
They didn't kick us out of like his little private cabana area. And we sat there. We kind of like hung out and watched this live performance of, I don't remember who it was, with Michael Jackson. We had like up close personal, like, you know, interpersonal communication with Michael
did
Jackson.
Did you just say cabana?
He did.
Cabana.
Don't
he
say
said cabana.
Cabana.
All right. Let's go to our chain. Bring a single friend. You are in. Let's go to Peter, who is calling us. Hi, Peter.
Hey guys, hey Lisa May.
Hi Peter.
Peter, how was your Vegas trip?
Best Vegas
moments.
It was
pretty good. My buddies and I, we went for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We 2 a.m. left the club, went to the craps table, and so next thing you know, we're gambling, and it's around like 7 a.m. and we haven't really won. We bought it with $200. It's like $250. Very unsatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Screw this. I bet it all on the field. And the guy throws a 12, triples my money. And next thing I know, like, I'm just going pretty crazy with my bets, and I walk off the table with a little over $4,000.
Wow. Whoa. Great. Nice save.
Yeah, exactly. So now, at this moment, 7:30, I, you know, meanwhile, drinking along the table, go to my room, I pass out, and then an hour later, my buddy texts me, he's like, saying,
you're
going
to have
hey,
to get to the girl part, because we're losing interest quick.
We're going
to
be in Vegas by the time you finish this story.
Okay, yeah, so he texts me saying, hey, how old is too old? And I'm like, what does this mean? He's like,
it's a dangerous question.
In Vegas at 7 a.m., that number goes way up.
Yeah, exactly. And text back again saying, hey, I'm bringing up this 6-year-old woman. We're going to tag team her. And I was like, what? You know, and then next thing I know, he brings her up. And
okay, wait.
Hold on.
She's
60.
And the two of you guys.
Yeah, but See, because it says here had threesome.
He did.
Right. To me.
Technically.
Technically, it's a threesome. There's three people having sex.
Yeah, but to me, the only threesome is two girls.
Well, that's not the truth.
Come on now.
But in reality, there are threesomes with three people.
So let's say there's two guys in a room.
Yeah.
Now you're separated by a 60-year-old.
Yes.
This is
not a big Vegas win story, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I don't think so either.
But I like his positive attitude.
Did you do the wobbly H?
No, she was a pretty good-looking 60-year-old woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not at 7 a.m. she wasn't.
Yeah.
Yes.
Peter, we can't accept this story. I'm sorry.
I think we have to deny,
reject you totally.
I'm sorry, but...
He won $4,000, which isn't like a ton of money, and he had a threesome with his buddy and a 60-year-old woman. This is like the Imperial Palace version of like a good Vegas story. This is like circus good. We want Luxor good. We want something really high-end.
We don't want lame trailer park good. Come on now. All right, let's see. Let's go to Jessica. How about that? Let's get a girl in here.
Okay. Hi, good idea.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's my 21st birthday weekend. Not this weekend. But I'm going to gamble, and I decided to get an awesome room in the tower at the Tropicana. Have you guys ever been to those rooms?
Yeah.
With mirrors on every side of your bed.
Sure.
I'm thinking I'm getting lucky.
Yeah.
And I go to check in, and they say, oh, Miss Taylor, we'd like to invite you to a room with a jacuzzi tub. Is that all right?
Wow.
Well, yes, it is.
Okay.
So I go to the room, and it's a two-bedroom suite with a jacuzzi. So now, since it's my birthday, I'm not drunk yet. We go down and start gambling, and we're playing video poker. And I get down to my very last hand. I've got a quarter in there. We've probably poured $200, $300 in there.
Right. Yeah.
And I get an ace-jack suited, and I'm sure what to do with that.
Ace-jack suited, you said?
Yeah, okay. Ace-jack suited.
Right.
So then I get my 10, I get my queen, I get my king, and I hit a royal flush, win $1,000 on my 21st birthday.
Wow.
Nice.
That's pretty strong.
That's pretty good.
That's a good Vegas story.
Yes. It is.
But they gave me $100 and a quarter.
All right, Jessica, was a quarter the maximum amount that you could bet? If you would have bet like three quarters, you would have won. See, this is
usually you can like five. You put like five quarters in.
I think it was $225 that was the max bet.
See, this is a lose then.
The quarter was left over.
So she won $100. She got a royal flush.
Listen to this degenerate.
No, yeah. I'm saying.
This is not enough money.
No, if you
need to have more.
If you bet the max and get a royal flush, you get paid.
But to hit a royal flush in one of these machines.
Yeah, it was triple bonus video poker. It said that I got 4,000 credits. I thought I was getting $4,000.
Yeah, but you got quarters instead.
Quarters.
Still, that's quite an achievement to get a royal flush.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a ace jack.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right, you're in.
All right, you're in.
Yes.
You got nice some. You got some lucky on your side. We like that.
Thanks,
all right.
Brother.
Bring somebody else. Thanks, brother. Bring somebody else approximately your same age and a girl, too, so we can kind of keep the numbers straight. All right.
No 60-year-olds who are doing three-ways with dudes. We don't want any of them at the party.
Let's go to Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Scott, give us a good story about Vegas.
Good story is this. I'm in grad school, completely broke. It's the end of bachelor party season, and I want nothing to do with Vegas. I have $300 in my pocket, start around 8 p.m. Before you know it, it's 4 a.m. I'm completely wasted, and I'm up $100,000.
What?
$100,000?
$100,000.
Playing what?
What were you playing?
I was playing blackjack. I started with my buddies all at the regular table, $25 hands. And then you know how it is when guys go, we don't really keep tabs on each other.
Right.
Everybody ends up doing whatever it is that they end up doing. And I look around, no one's there of my friends. I'm up like a grand at this time, and I don't like playing without people. I like playing either with my friends or I'm kind of by myself. So
right.
I'm looking at the high roller table. At this point, it's still early, and the minimum bet was only $50, and
right.
I've been betting 50 to 100 at this time.
Right.
So I go over there by myself. I sit down, I start playing, and everything, I can't stop winning. So I'm betting $100 a hand, then I up it to a couple hundred.
Are you texting your friends, hey, jackasses, I'm winning money?
Well, basically. So what happened was I'm playing with like $500 chips. I'm on fire. I'm playing like $1,000 chips now.
And you're hammered, so you don't really feel it.
Hammered.
Yeah.
I'm giving the drink lady a $25 tip at a time. And the dealer goes, even said to me, you know you don't have to do that.
Hey, jackass.
And I was like, screw it. I'm still going to tip her $25 each time she gives me a drink. I mean, there were about five pit bosses watching me now.
Wow. I'm sure.
Completely wasted, and I'm pretending like I can count cards. I'm sitting there, like, squinting at them, like, pretending like I can count.
Like you're somebody.
Meanwhile, if they were looking in the, you know, in the video, they knew that I couldn't see, and I had about 15 drinks in me by the time they finished.
How much did you go home with on that trip? $100,000?
So this is what happened. So I'm texting. I told my friends, look, I'm up at this point $50,000. My buddy comes over, grabs $15,000 from my stack, runs away, and he says, you'll thank me in the morning. Just takes off.
And that's all you got home with?
So he leaves.
Scott, we've only got so much time.
Scott, you got to get to the chase, man. Sorry. Okay. Run out of time.
The chase is I end up walking out with $100,000. I leave the next day. I got on a flight early in the morning, said I got to get out of here because I'm going to blow it all.
Well played.
Wow. That's impressive.
Wow. And plus, you got the 15 that your buddy stole from you still, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
you never gave it to him.
$115,000. No. That was the vital take home.
Wow.
I blew it all.
On what?
Well, just on stuff.
Stop. Well, at least you got stuff out of it.
Yeah.
All right. You're coming with us, Scott. We need somebody definitely. With your kind of luck.
Thank you, Scott. Bring a single friend as well, and we'll take a few more people off the air, and we'll take your stories of best Vegas moments. It is this Thursday.
And we'll be giving some more tickets out later today as well, too.
That's
so
right.
Stick around.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we have Harvey from TMZ coming up. We also are going to talk some sports with Petros Papadakis. But first, let's talk Ozzy Osbourne, who's in the studio with us.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Good morning, Ozzy.
Where is he? I wouldn't like to talk to him.
Right, you are him.
I'm Ozzy
Osbourne. You're Ozzy Osbourne, yes.
Oh, I'm very lucky then.
So, yes. My first question to you is, are you aware that Rolling Stone magazine has signed you up as their, quote, health columnist?
Of course I'm aware of it.
Okay.
I'm the one who signed the contract.
You haven't signed a contract your entire life.
I'm the one Sharon signed the contract for.
That is true.
Now, you're going to write a health column?
Yeah. It's more an advice column.
An advice column, okay.
Advice is for health and sex and family matters and... Any questions you have about your life, I'm going to fix it for you.
So pretty much all of them your specialty,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, all the things that I'm so good at.
I was reading a quote that you said to Rolling Stone. You said, the only time I ever talked to my kids about drugs, it was to ask, can you give me some?
That's right.
Well, that doesn't seem like...
I used to get Oxycontin from Jack. And I would get cookies from Kelly.
Right.
But one of the questions that someone wrote in is, that, how do you talk to your kids about drugs? And I said, that's the only time I've ever said to them about them. I said, well, can I have some?
Right. Right. So,
And then their drugs were better than mine.
They were?
And we got so angry at them. I grounded them.
Now, when Rolling Stone found out that the only time you talk to your kids about drugs, you asked them for some, they said, this is good?
You're hired.
Okay.
So that's what they said. And so now I've got a new career. Ask Ozzy.
Ask Ozzy. Okay, so people text, email, whatever, Facebook, they send in questions that they have about their family.
That's right, about sex, drugs, rock and roll, family, health, diet, exercise. I'm like Dear Abby. It's just any advice you need from, just ask Ozzy.
Dear Ozzy.
And I will fix it. I'll give you the advice. I'll make everything worse.
So, yeah. We're going to take some calls. 1-800-520-1067.
Yeah, let's take some calls.
Yeah, you want to test out your skills? And just see?
I need some practice for my new... I'm in Rolling Stone, you know. I've got a new column in Rolling Stone.
We just mentioned that, yeah.
Where I answer questions for people.
Yes, you're going to be a
help. Did you know that?
Yes, I just brought... That's why we have you here to talk.
When Ozzy gets here, we should ask him about...
He's here now.
We're
going to take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. It can be anything from family relationships to sex problems to how to diet, how to exercise properly, right?
Yeah, career, anything.
Career, okay.
Yeah, I'm
you're
an expert.
Purple?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I chose on some cocaine.
All right, so we'll do Ask Ozzy in just a second. We'll have the callers on the phone, and then you'll talk to him and give him your
Sharon!
Advice.
Sharon, call Ask Ozzy. Yeah. I want Sharon to call in.
Okay. Ask Ozzy is next. 1-800-520-106. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Ozzy Osbourne, who
I was talking about Ozzy Osbourne,
with us, right. We were talking about the fact that you're going to be the new health columnist for Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah, my column.
And that seems odd to us, but okay.
Why does it seem odd?
Well, health. Yeah. You think of Ozzy Osbourne.
I'm a picture of health. Look, I'll run from one side of the room to the other.
Okay.
All right, hold on, let me get started.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right.
It's a very small room. About 4 feet.
Okay.
You're not going anywhere, Ozzy.
I'm over here now.
Moving from the microphone is not running.
I just wanted to give the illusion.
There was no illusion.
I can't get off my chair.
It's time to ask Ozzy. We're going to try to warm you up for Rolling Stone magazine. Ask Ozzy. Sing it if you know it. Ask Ozzy. Ask Ozzy. Can you
ask Ozzy? How much work went into that intro?
Not much.
You must have spent hours.
Not much. I don't think
working on that.
Maybe 10 minutes.
I could have done that to myself.
Let's start with Laura. Hi, Laura.
Good morning, boys. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Ask Ozzy.
Ozzy, what's a girl to do? I've been married just a little over a year, and I don't get it from my husband. Maybe once a month.
What? Once a month?
Yes.
You've been married just 1 year?
Yes.
Why are you fat?
No, I'm not.
Ozzy.
No, I just want to know if you're ugly or fat. Because Sharon used to be fat, and I didn't have sex with her then.
Oh, Ozzy.
But then she got her stomach stable, and she got thin.
I can understand it if I was a beast.
Me too.
But I'm not.
All right, not a beast. Okay.
Are you attractive?
Yes, very.
Well, get it from someone else then.
That was the question.
Amen. That's what I thought. It's in the Bill of Rights, right? If you're not getting it from him, you have a constitutional right to get it elsewhere, don't you?
If he's not...
Ozzy is not an expert on the Constitution.
No, I am.
I'm
a constitutional lawyer.
Okay.
if your husband's not getting it done at home, you have to... give him a chance. Say, look, you're not taking care of business, and if you don't take care of business, then I'm going to get it from Ozzy.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, ride on the crazy train. You know what I'm saying? I bet he'll say, "Oh, I'm sorry. All right, I'll do whatever you want." And then you get nasty with him.
Very good.
Make him do kinky things.
Oh, very
good. Like Sharon.
Sharon.
Is she kinky?
She's so kinky.
Really?
Yeah.
How often do you have sex, Ozzy?
I'm having sex right now.
You're not.
Mm-mm.
Yes, I am.
At least I can't see over there.
And there's nothing going
Sometimes
on down
I don't
there.
I need to touch myself.
Okay.
Wow.
It's all right. Thank you for
I've
the
got
call.
A machine. Battery operated.
You have a machine.
I do. It's a sex machine.
Nicely done. All right. So she gives him warning, and then she can go
outside the bounds. Get it done, or I'm going to get someone else. And if he says, "Oh no, I'm not doing it," then she is free to go. Gentlemen callers.
And by that you mean you.
He'll
bring his machine.
I'll bring the machine in the Viagra.
Jeff, welcome to Ask Ozzy.
Hey, Ozzy.
Jeff!
All right, well, my situation is I'm being laid off in about a week, and then that Saturday after that, I'm getting married. And,
no,
don't
do it!
I don't think that's his question.
Oh, okay. What's your question then?
No, she's a wonderful girl. But I'm in a band, and I'm wondering if I should juggle the rock lifestyle and, you know, look for a job too, or if I just put my head down and do what's the most responsible thing to do and just look for a job and put the band aside.
No, you put the jobs aside and just play in the band. Don't even look for a job. Just let me tell you something. Everyone who ever gets into music always succeeds.
I don't think that's...
It's automatic.
I don't think
it's
that's
100%.
True. I think it's far from true.
No, it's 100% true.
100%.
Everyone in music makes a lot of money. Look at me.
I don't think...
I made a lot of money.
You did make a lot of money, yes, but I don't know that that's everyone's experience.
Everyone I know.
Okay, how should Jeff sell this to his wife? Did you say you had a wife or girlfriend?
He's getting married.
Getting married, okay. Fiance, how should he explain it to her, the whole...
You say, listen... Woman, you're my woman, and your job is to back me up and to do whatever I want.
Is that her job?
No. But Sharon was my manager.
Right.
When and so maybe she could be your manager, Jeff.
That's a good idea.
Would Sharon do that?
No, not Sharon being the manager. Jeff's wife could be his manager for his band.
So you ask your fiance to be the manager of your band.
Right, and then you're working together. It makes you closer so that when she dumps you, you don't feel so bad.
Seems worse to me.
Or just get a job.
Either way. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:52.
Hey!
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you. That was a little late, but I guess better late than never.
Time
for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what the people are going to see. And no surprise, for Halloween weekend, people are going to see horror. Saw 3D. $24.2 million in its debut weekend, made it number one at the box office. Anybody catch Saw 3D by any chance?
No.
Looks bad, scary.
Yeah.
Scary bad.
Yeah. Like, I love movies like that. Whew. I don't have time, but yeah.
They're rough movies, those Saws.
Yeah, they are. But it's all the people always have it coming, so that makes it better.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know.
Paranormal Activity 2, another horror movie, also did very well for itself, $16.5 million this weekend.
I loved that movie. It's not in a rush.
No. Well, the first one was not exactly action-packed either.
They're not...
It's an hour and 40 minutes to wait for some chick to throw somebody against a camera.
They're not racing to the finish line.
No.
If I could just say it that way.
Red was third. Jackass 3D was fourth. Hereafter was fifth. Secretariat, The Social Network, Life as We Know It, The Town, and Conviction. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. What was Conviction? What was
Conviction.
Number 10? Conviction.
I don't know.
Conviction.
This service we use sometimes to get this information from sometimes can be F and shake.
Yeah, so it might even not...
They might be talking about...
I don't know.
What was the oh, man.
Let's
move
look
on.
That up and figure it out later.
What was the one with the...
I need this in its full length. In its full length, I need this.
What was the one with Leonardo DiCaprio where he goes to the dream world?
Inception.
I wonder if they mean Inception instead of Conviction.
Sure could.
On this list. I mean, because sometimes they get honked up.
Here's what I like about this list, is that we get this information from the same guy, and he's wrong 90% of the time. And
there's always at least one mistake in every report.
And we use it regularly.
We've never changed.
Never faltered.
We've got a service that we like, because... We know there will be a bad
break. A movie
There's
called
a Conviction.
Conviction.
Right. Who's in it? What's it all about?
Let's see. Hilary Swank, Sam Rockwell, Thomas somebody. A working mother puts herself through law school.
Oh, we did talk about
that. And never to represent her brother.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, there you go. Conviction. It turns out this dude was right.
How about that?
We're blaming the source.
Well, he's wrong somewhere. We're just not sure where.
Just our ignorance instead. I don't care about country music.
Yeah.
But I thought this story was fascinating. A guy named Randy Travis, a big country music star, apparently.
For years.
Yeah. His wife is his manager. Her name is Elizabeth. They've been married for 19 years. They've known each other for 34 years.
Wow.
And she is how old?
She's much older
200.
Than he is, right? Yeah. That's what I remember that story being about. Anyway, they're getting divorced. They're splitting up.
Okay.
Wow.
But Randy and Elizabeth both say Elizabeth will continue to be his manager despite the divorce. What kind of bad idea is that?
There have been rumors for years that this was always just a convenient thing.
Oh, that they've been leading separate lives and she must be a good man? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No one could ever see
Randy likes it in the Travis?
I don't
is that
know.
What you're saying?
I don't know about that, but...
Wow.
Well, if it's a marriage of convenience, then why would they get divorced? If there's nothing going on there, why would
they
bother?
Maybe someone met somebody finally. I don't know.
But if you're going to get divorced, that's not going to be your manager.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that situation. Because A, she's going to take all the money you got.
Right.
Or B, she's going to start booking you into, like, saunas and stuff. You know, like gay bathhouses and county fairs and whatnot. Just to F with you, right?
Remember when Lisa May used to play that kind of music?
Hank Williams Jr., and he's going honky-tonking. Well, why not? It's Saturday. That's what you do on a Saturday night, right?
Right.
Yeehaw! Played a lot of random
Travis. I forgot
Travis
Lisa
too.
Was our country and western gal.
Charlie Pride, and she's just too good to be true. That's what my honey always says to me.
Does your honey always say that on a hayride?
Damn, I forgot all about Lisa's country western career. We got any more of that, Mike?
I'll
give up the showbiz news for some of this.
We don't really need to
listen
to
that. My goodness, was that a mouthful?
Yeah, well,
Yeah. That's just Lisa, just everyday life. That's not from her country music career, I don't believe.
Yeah,
I don't
know. I'd like to hear some showbiz myself.
I'm sure you would.
I want to hear Behind Closed Doors. Remember that? What was that? Charlie Daniels band or somebody did that song? What do they do behind those closed doors? Come on, Mike, give me that one.
We have too many Lisa clips. We're going through them. Penis, Moan, August, Poon.
All right, well, keep booking. I'll do some showbiz news while we're...
A nut that's almost too good to share.
I share my nuts. Sometimes. It's 10:54.
Oh. You know what that means.
Don't think you can get away with that kind of stuff on country music
that
radio.
That is pretty racy.
That is racy.
What does that mean?
Charlie Pride and She's Just Too Good to Be True. That's what my honey always says to me.
Heard that one. I want the Behind Closed Doors one.
I can't find it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well.
Tomorrow, it's election day here in the state of California, and I'm sure...
Really, I haven't seen anything about it on TV.
Many other states of this great nation of ours, and one of the things on the ballot here in California is the legalization of marijuana in the state of California, which is not going to pass, by the way. Proposition 19.
It isn't?
No.
I don't think so. Anyway, they were debating it on the Bill Maher Show, real time, on HBO this weekend, and Zach Galifianakis pulled out a joint, sparked it up, and smoked it right there on the stage.
Love it.
How great is that?
Great.
He's the best.
Bill Maher, I'm sure, didn't mind.
No.
I think Bill likes to imbibe occasionally on his own.
But, Did he puff pass?
Puff, puff, pass.
Did that happen?
Apparently, people are saying that maybe the first time a celebrity has ever smoked a joint on live television.
Really?
It's never happened before.
Surprising.
Yeah, you would think it would have happened someplace. Saturday Night Live or something, right? Back in the day, but apparently not. So, good for you, Zach. Funny, funny man. Do you want to have that piece?
No, we can't find it.
I love that one.
Yeah.
What are they doing behind those closed doors?
We have the disaster, which you couldn't get the card to work, but that's the only
other. Oh, that was good.
Oh, that's a good one.
Xerox, the document company.
This is supposed to play something now. Wait a sec, because I'm going to make this work. This is the newest song, okay, with Dolly and Ricky Van Shelton.
Yes,
let's
Dolly
see if this
Ricky.
Works or not. There it is. Let's try it now. Because I really like this song. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A little patience, and we'll get there, okay? Here's Dolly and Ricky.
I like that little country twang I had going,
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah. You were...
Just a little bit. Just a tiny bit.
By the way, that's smoother than me now when I make mistakes.
That is true.
I have to say, that was a pretty good way of handling that. Because that's a disaster if you load
it
up a
is,
cart.
It is, yeah. And it's just not loading, and now what do you
do?
Much
props, Lisa.
Thank you. Thanks,
except for
that.
You said that song is good. And I'm saying that wiped out all of the goodwill.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Penn Badgley of Gossip Girl is 24 years old today. Actress, I gotta stop saying that. Jenny McCarthy is 38 years old today. There's the mistake. That's the mistake we have in every report. Remember we're talking about? It says actress Jenny McCarthy here.
That was in basketball.
That's true. She was in basketball. She's 38. Toni Collette from the United States of Tara. She is 38 years old today. Rick Allen, drummer for Def Leppard, is 47. And Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 48 years old today. Speaking of Anthony Kiedis, I think they're coming by the show this week, aren't they, Kevin?
I'm sorry, what?
Anthony Kiedis, Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Hmm.
I believe they're going to be stopping by the Kevin and Bean Studios later this week.
Oh, Thursday. You mean to talk about Thursday?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The band's coming in.
That's what I just said!
Yeah. Anthony Kiedis, Chad Flea, everybody.
The entire band.
Yeah, yeah. They're coming in Thursday.
Coming in on Thursday, playing some music.
I should have mentioned that.
You should have.
Yeah, how about
I'm
that?
Glad
that's,
I did.
That's going to be cool.
Welcome back, Kevin. It's good to have you back in the fold.
Thank you.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we welcome to the studios Petros Papadakis.
Hey, talks
sport, sometimes sports on Fox Sports Radio.
We can do whatever you want, and if you want me to be super professional,
don't
do it today because Bean's. You know, I don't want to. Bean gets all weird and asks too many questions, and I just like to cut him off and freak him out.
That's what you should do.
Whatever you want, though, I will execute it.
All right,
with precision.
Let's talk about the Galaxy in the playoffs now.
I was warned about this. What is your obsession here? What are we talking Galaxy for?
I love soccer. You said whatever I want to talk about.
Okay,
I wasn't even going to bring it up.
You love soccer.
Yes.
But does that really fall under the umbrella of the MLS, Major League Soccer, here in the United States? Most people that love soccer here in the United States, like my esteemed partner, Matt Money Smith, who I'm filling in for right now.
Right.
They like the English Premier League, also known as the EPL.
Of course. It's the best league in the world.
Is that what you're wearing? Is that your
shirt? No, that's Barcelona.
Okay, so that would be...
Which is the best team in the world.
Would that be La Liga?
Yes.
Okay, and then the German league is Bundesliga? Yeah, I don't know any of that stuff. I do not know. I know those guys are in really good shape because they run around
a lot.
But
the Galaxy are in the playoffs. They won yesterday.
Who'd they beat?
They played
the Seattle Sounders?
Yes.
That's the only other team I can name.
Look, you're the one that said talk about anything you want to. I wasn't even planning on it. Let's talk about hockey. Let's talk about the Kings.
Go, Kings, go.
All right.
Do you know that I'm the voice of the Kings on Fox Sports Radio? I do the commercials?
No, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, and I said, you guys want somebody that knows maybe a little more about... No, we're with you. I said, all right, whatever you guys want. I'll tell you this about hockey.
Yes.
I respect the hell out of the sport.
Yeah.
Not that I don't respect the hell out of soccer. I don't like when they lay there for so long.
I don't either.
But in hockey, those guys are the toughest dudes in the world. They're tougher than football players. They play three or four times a week on that hard surface.
Sometimes back-to-back games, ridiculous.
If their arms or legs or chins fall off, they just put them back on. They don't even miss a shift, and they police themselves. So they're all wonderful people. They're the best. I'm serious.
They are.
They're the best guy. I remember asking the old king, Marty McSorley.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Marty one night because we were late at night in Bowie, Maryland, believe it or not.
Okay.
And we were shooting.
He was their enforcer at the time. He was their fighter.
We were shooting a show, and I asked him, I said, Marty, why is it that the hockey guys are all so cool? World's cooler than football players who are a distant second, baseball players who are all morons. I mean, cinder block heads. Baseball players are the dumbest people, the white guys, the dumbest people in the history of the world. Basketball players who are just arrogant a-holes because they're freaks.
Yeah.
You know, they only look normal on a basketball court.
Right.
Everywhere else, they just look like weirdo freaks.
But you would have a beer with every single player in the NHL.
Molson.
Yeah.
And what they say, that's what they drink. That's what I was drinking with McSorley. And he said, because if a young kid, we're cool because if a young kid comes into our room, they don't call it a locker room, they call it the room or the dressing room.
Right.
If they come into our room and they leave their sweater, because they don't call it a jersey, they call it a sweater, on the floor, or they act mean to a reporter, or they don't tip the clubby, the guy that, you know, provides everything for everybody, we beat the crap out of them. We just beat the crap out of them. It's like a gang mentality. It's like... It's like jail. They beat the crap out of you. You disrespectful to the coach, they beat the crap out of you. And then they all turn out to be these nice, polite Canadian farm boy types. And hockey, they're the best guys to deal with in the world. I wish I was raised a little bit or grew up a little bit more with a sport so I could have something good to say. But hey, go Kings, go.
All right, look, I love the Kings. I love the Galaxy. But let's talk about, I'm sure more people are interested in the World Series. I imagine.
The World Series.
Not a big baseball fan, but.
You're not?
No.
Does it take a little long?
It's a slow, slow game.
You know what? It is becoming more. Baseball is still very popular. They still make a lot of money because of the fantasy baseball part of it, and their .com was really ahead of the curve. So baseball still makes a lot of money. A lot of people still go to watch baseball.
I like going personally, but I can't watch it.
Going to the game is great because it's a great American experience.
Right.
And chicks love baseball players. White chicks baseball players. There's something about America and those stupid white dudes and their tight pants and their adjusting of the crotch and their flappy hair that just gets chicks going, man. It really does. Chicks love baseball. You know, girls that like football players usually are hood rats. They want to be beat up a little bit. You know, they like, not beat up, but they like it rough.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's baseball is not a violence sport.
No, they're a bunch of tools.
They're fat.
I think the lifestyle, too, it's almost rockstar-esque how they're in a different town all the time. It's like
woman in every port.
Yeah.
I'm a traveling man. Made a lot of stops.
Ramble.
Yeah, this Giants team, though, is pretty annoying. I mean, because I've been going up to the Bay Area a lot for football this year in particular. I've been doing a lot of Cal games for Fox, and man, are they annoying. Everybody's wearing orange. Everybody's wearing a fake beard for that one idiot that's named after the Beach Boy, Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
That guy's such a tool. I mean, they won the NLCS, and they're going to the series, and one of those dorky dudes is interviewing this guy, Brian Wilson, this Giants pitcher, and he's like, oh, the people are going crazy in San Francisco. And this guy looks into the camera with his stupid baseball guy look, and he goes like, we hope everybody in San Francisco is going ballistic right now, because we're coming home to join you. And then he gives it about 3 seconds, and he goes, fact! It's like, you tool. I mean, could you be? I don't want to party with that guy. If that guy wins 6 World Series in a row, I don't want to be anywhere near that idiot.
All right, but let's talk about them.
The Giants are going to win. They're up 3-1. They're going to win. They might win it tonight.
They played the best pitcher in baseball. Do I have that right? The first game?
Well, one of them.
Arguably, yeah.
And they already scored beat Roy Halladay. I mean, they beat Roy Halladay, the Phillies pitcher, and he's one of the best pitchers, probably the best pitcher in baseball. Cliff Lee's a great pitcher, but they have that weirdo, Stoner, from Washington, Tim Lincecum. And, you know, I loved him until he came on Matt and I's show.
Really?
He was just a full douche.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You couldn't sense that with the hairdo and the wacky
behavior?
Well,
I just thought he was a weirdo, you know? I mean, I thought
eccentric.
I could get with that. You know, I knew Barry Zito in college. He was all right. But this guy Lincecum, just his floppy head and his beady eyes. He's too close to Canada.
He looks like he looks like a young Tobin Bell, like from the Saw movies.
Yeah. Like, and he thinks he's a hardcore guy, you know? He's like, but you're a buck 60. I don't care how fast you can throw a baseball. I'll wring your neck. You know, what does he think? He got arrested for weed, and he comes on our show 2 weeks later, and we're not allowed to ask him about the weed?
Really?
Hey, you better not book him on the show. So first thing I did was ask him, I said, how about that big weed? Hey, smoking that big weed? Was that a metal pipe? What kind of pipe was that?
You have to do that.
Yeah, and he acted like a hard guy about it. So F you, Lincecum. I hope the Texans beat your ass, but I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, so game one was 11-7. Game two was 9-0.
Who's watching?
I don't know. Not
people
me.
Just want to watch football. I mean, that's all we want. We're the Roman Empire. We crave violent entertainment, Kevin.
Yeah.
We want it. We want blood. We want the heads to actually fly off these players into the stands so the kids have something to take home. And that's what we want. We want guys in plastic outfits breaking each other's sternums. Football is king in our country.
And what is going on with the Raiders?
Raiders!
We're going to take a break. But when we come back, we need to talk about the Raiders outscoring their opponents by 7,000 points in the last three games.
What are they, Raiders?
They're on fire. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 23 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Petros Papadakis is here talking sports.
Raiders.
We're talking about the World Series. The Raiders,
look out, eh?
In the NFL are... What has happened?
They've had two good weeks, but don't get your panties all ironed out. They're still the Raiders.
Right, but they've scored like 70 points in the last 2 weeks.
Their old offensive coordinator, their new offensive coordinator, excuse me, was my old offensive coordinator at USC, a guy named Hugh Jackson from Dorsey High School, and we used to call him Booty Skin because he had skin move from his ass to his face because he had like a cut or something as a child.
So he had an ass graft onto his face?
Ass face graft. Booty skin! And he's a pretty good teacher, you know, and he can call plays. I always knew that about him.
Right.
And Jason Campbell is making less mistakes, and they sort of look like the Raiders used to look. It's an Al Davis-looking football team. They throw deep with some explosiveness. They have good backs. Darren McFadden and Michael Bush are coming on this year.
I think the fans have been trained a little bit the way you're talking, though, which is every time there's hope,
Raiders.
They'll find a way to lose.
That's true, but let's just look at the situation in their division. You got the Chargers, who finally won one, and they usually come on around this time of year. It's the blueprint. They start coming on and winning a bunch of games. The Chiefs have been a surprise this year. There is going to be no wild card coming out of that division, the AFC West. So the Raiders have got to beat the Chiefs on Sunday, and they've got to continue to win, because if they don't win that division, which means they have to beat the Chiefs and the Chargers, be better than them. It's a tall order. If the Chargers really come on, then they're not going to the playoffs, and it's going to be, oh, we suck, eh? But they have scored a lot of points lately. The last 2 weeks, they've played good football. But the margin of victory in the NFL is so small, and it's so difficult.
But that's why it stands out as them destroying teams. They didn't just win.
Yeah, but they beat two bootleg teams that are bootleg.
But I've heard you say 100 times all of the teams in the NFL
Everybody, all the players are even. That's what I mean. All the athletes are even. Play in and play out, athlete for athlete, everybody's pretty much the same. You look at the Cowboys, they're a great team athletically, but they just don't have the chemistry. They're not playing together well with the coaching staff, or something's not adding up. A football team is like a giant chemistry experiment with a bunch of really veiny, muscly, angry, maladjusted people. That really is what football is. And that's why you see a team like Stanford in the college level with a bunch of smart whiteys out there dominating people on some Saturdays just because they have the right chemistry. Well, in the NFL, it's even more than that. And it's hard week in and week out just to figure out who's going to win and how they're going to win.
Hasn't this season been harder than usual to pick games?
And it's getting more and more that way, and it will continue to be more and more that way.
Those of us in a pool, I put in the air quotes, because I would never gamble on football.
Of course.
It's impossible. I mean,
No, there's no way to tell.
You lose more than you win.
Because guys in the NFL are so damn good, and they so rarely make mistakes, that when they do, it's such a glaring thing, and people lose their jobs.
Yeah.
So you just... there's no way to tell. It really isn't. There's a great deal of parity. You look at teams like the Steelers. Steelers lost last night, though, but they're probably one of the best in the NFL. The Jets, who lost yesterday, are one of the best in the NFL. And other than that,
New Orleans is a team that, of course, won the Super Bowl, but they've had a rough
really hard
beginning
to recreate magic. You know, what happened with New Orleans last year was magical. And I went out to Mardi Gras right after they won the Super Bowl, and you cannot imagine how excited that town was. It almost felt like a college thing. It almost felt like they were an SEC team or something like that. Because pro football is more homogenized, and it's a little more marketed, and you don't really have individual teams. But New Orleans is an exception to that. I mean, everywhere
there was a city that...
Yeah, there's a sign with a fleur-de-lis that says, "Bless you, boys." Every time you turn a corner, people are drinking and screaming for Drew Brees, and they want to have his childhood. It was a really cool thing. But to recreate that when everybody's targeting you is really hard. Look at what Brett Favre is going through. You know, they tried to recreate the magic from last year with a 41-year-old man, and my God.
Is he done now? I mean,
dude, it's like Private Ryan out there. This guy is just getting destroyed. And I told you guys, I think, when I first came in this year before the season started, I said, look, this Favre thing, if it's not magic like it was last year, it is going to be ugly. Bubba Sparks style ugly up in there, and it absolutely is. Him lying there on a cart with his eyes closed and somebody holding his chin together while they're rolling him off the field, that is damn ugly. And,
that's the week after he broke an ankle or whatever.
It got me to thinking, there's a lot of guys that play in the NFL. I would say of all those people that play in the NFL, one half of 1% have it end the way they want it to end. Never ends pretty.
Wow, you're a downer.
But it never does it, unless you're John Elway, and you walk off into the sunset smoking a cigarette with a head the size of a horse, and you're winning two Super Bowls. It ends ugly. You think of everybody in the history of football that we've celebrated over the years, when their career is over. Think of O.J. Simpson in a 49ers uniform. Think of Johnny Unitas in a Chargers uniform. Think of Emmett Smith in a Phoenix Arizona Cardinals uniform. I mean, it is just a brutal game, and that's why they say the NFL stands for not for long.
Yeah.
Because everybody in there just gets their head knocked off for the next guy to come in and get his head knocked off and feel slighted at the end. And it's Brett Favre's a different story, though. I mean, he's just a guy that can't reconcile looking through life without a face mask. You know, he just can't
That's
deal
a little
with
sad. I mean, let's
it,
be honest.
It is a little sad when you're 38 years old and you're sending pictures of your Johnny Schlanko to reporters. That's pretty sad.
He admitted the voicemails, but not the pictures.
Oh, well,
man.
Then whose schlong is that?
Someone else. Somebody else.
That's my schlong.
I thought that was funny. By the way, for guy speak, if you admit to the voicemails, it's you took the picture.
I left her a message saying that I wanted to have sex, but I didn't take a picture of my schlong and send it. That's that gets the girls going, though.
No.
When they get a picture of your gray salt and pepper pubes and your schlunko, sort of semi-erect.
When the pewter pubes hanging over the Crocs. In the picture.
They love that. And you know how I could tell it was Favre in the pictures, allegedly? Because he was, like, kind of kneeling on that bed, and he kind of had his hips moved back, and he was straddling that bed. And you could see those were high thread count sheets. You know, that's a guy with a lot of money. Those are high. Those sheets had a high thread count.
That's how you know it's him.
Yeah, that's when you graduate, you know, when you start making money. You know, I make a little money, and I'm not rich like you guys, but I make a little money.
You got good
first
sheets.
First thing I did, I got sheets. Some sheets, and I rubbed my naked crotch off.
Wow, that is not a that's
you
not
should see
how
the Jack Rabbit style that I could pump my hips. Kevin, you can't imagine how quick I
don't want to imagine that if you don't mind.
Jackrabbit style. Bang, bang.
All right.
Bang, 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 bang.
It's impossible. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? It's impossible. I know. But seriously, if you had to guess.
What do I look like?
If you had to
Jimmy
guess.
Jimmy the Greek?
If you had to guess.
Kinda. You kind of look like Jimmy the Greek.
You do?
Do
look, a little bit like that, yeah.
Not racist.
New England?
You know, yeah. Why not?
Maybe?
Yeah, let's go with New England. Let's go with Tom Brady. You know why? Tom Brady, he's still a good football player.
He is.
But I saw him with a wallet chain on earlier this year.
I
told you about that.
Oh, I know.
First of all, how are you going to wear a wallet chain when you're not a biker? The only people on earth that should wear wallet chains are bikers. If you're not a biker, what are you worried about? Wait, who's going to take your wallet?
Yeah.
And you know it was like a $4,000 wallet chain. It just wasn't the one you get at the Hot Topic.
You don't add the wallet chain later in life either.
No.
That's just not.
No, I mean, I remember Tom Brady. I knew
that's
Tom Brady.
My dad wearing a wallet chain.
Yeah, I knew him when he was at Michigan. And he was a dorky Bay Area tool with a double T-shirt on saying hell at everybody. And now you look at his face and his eyebrows are all waxed and his face is all treated. You could tell he'd be going getting microdermabrasion and chemical peels. And he kind of got like a wolfman look going. going, and his wife is out there in France in a Muscadet ball. And it's just like, come on, man, you're from the Bay Area. What's wrong? Why don't you just listen to some E-40 and Ghost Ride the Whip? You'd be such an East Coast tool with your newsboy hat on.
I'd give anything to see him ghost riding a whip. That would be awesome.
He's from the Bay Area. Look. Should be listening to Rapping Forte or Drew Down. What the hell is wrong with that guy?
Listen, I'm from Arizona, so the Cardinals don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl. But what I'm saying is I like New England because Bill Belichick is miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Well, everybody involved in the world of football is miserable.
Yeah, but none of them show it like he does. Oh, he's outwardly just
that way.
Angry. They are.
Oh, I go meet with these coaches. It doesn't matter if they're undefeated or if they've lost every game. You just go, hey, coach, what do you see this week? Oh,
a lot of problems.
We suck.
But don't some of them try to cover that up a
no,
little? They don't?
No, not with me, no.
No, but Belichick is worse than most.
Oh, God, no. He's a complete wreck of a person.
Right.
He's miserable.
So they win the Super Bowl, he would still be miserable. I would enjoy that.
When you can't open your mouth to talk, you know, because that's how you are in the morning. You know when you get up in the morning, you just hate the world, and somebody says something to you, and you can't even open your mouth. And
yes. Yeah, that's him.
You do that?
That's him.
That's who Bill Belichick
okay,
is. I don't know how he calls play.
Do they have to by the rules of the NFL, they have to do those interviews?
Oh, yeah. They have to do press conferences. They have to address the media. They have to do interviews. And a lot of coaches resent it. In the world I work in, which is the college football world, it's a little bit more of a joy to talk to the coaches because
right.
they have to talk to you because it's about recruiting. In
right.
the NFL, they don't have to recruit anybody. They pay you to play, and they pay you as much as they think you're worth. And when you're no longer worth that to them, it doesn't matter if you're Randy Moss or the fourth-string fullback, they send you packing because
yeah.
the NFL stands for?
Not for long.
Yeah, thank you.
No,
right.
I learned that. All right, Petros, you're the best. Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here.
Petros Papadakis, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports 570 a.m. if you're in the Southern California area and all over the world. You can also
Absolutely.
Check him out as well. And he does TV broadcasts.
For the Raiders.
Thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate
Bye, guys.
It. We have all of the Red Hot Chili Peppers on Thursday show, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, we do.
How about that? It's their first official Red Hot Chili Peppers book that they're going to write.
Oh.
Behind the scenes look. So
okay.
We got that coming up on Thursday. Right now, though, let's talk to Dax from TMZ.com. Hi, Dax.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Boy, you got a lot of good stuff on your site today.
It is a good day.
There's
right?
a lot of good stuff. At the top is Mel Gibson's deposition, and I don't know how many people have been in a deposition.
Me?
I have. Yes. I've been in many, and I'm here to tell you it is ugly. Lee.
Yeah.
Okay, imagine being ugly, and then imagine Oksana, your ex-girlfriend, your baby mama, sitting there staring at you the entire time while you're doing it.
Yes, and it's her lawyer that can fire questions. Now, the lawyers are not under oath, but you, as Mel Gibson, you are under oath
right.
in a deposition. So they can lie and lie, and I've been asked the most absurd questions where I kind of laugh, and then I realize, no, they're serious. They can say anything. So
yeah.
is their goal in this deposition, is this their goal just to get him to lose it, do you think?
Yeah, I think kind of because the fact that they're bringing her in to sit there and stare at him through the entire deposition, and then she could actually get questions, hand them over to the lawyer, and the lawyer will ask them for her. I'm like, God, that just seems like a nightmare.
I've been
and it's all over the custody war between them, you know, with the daughter, Lucia. However, they're trying to actually play the rant tapes as well for him.
Now, that seems like that's difficult legally, no?
Yeah. The problem is because, you know, they don't want to get into the whole domestic abuse case. They just want to stick on the custody war. And so you start bringing those in, and people start raising eyebrows. So I don't know if they're going to end up being able to play them or not.
No. Let's talk about Charlie Sheen, point two on TMZ.com. Charlie Sheen, what? I know there's conflicting stories, but the one story about him in a restaurant, he was nude and he was screaming the N-word, and he had this porn star, Capri Anderson, who, by the way,
yeah,
she's the real deal. Apparently, he was in the bathroom, allegedly, you know, snorting cocaine, pulled down his pants, wanted to have sex with her. She said, pay me my $12,000. She left, blah, blah, blah. He's on death's door, and then his manager came out and said, it's all false.
Obviously the hotel story came out, and then another story came out this weekend saying that he had hookers and cocaine and partying and was about to die. And so his manager, Mark Berg, who you know we talked to, went by the house, kind of popped in to see Charlie because he was a little worried about it, went in the side door and found Charlie sitting on the couch watching the football game eating a turkey sandwich.
Right.
And Charlie looks at him like, hey, thanks for knocking, dude.
Hey, way to knock, dude. Those were his dad. That was his quote.
And so he's like, no, obviously that rumor was not true, completely fake. Charlie's doing just fine. He actually said Charlie's, like, more normal than he's ever seen him.
So what do you believe? I mean, you know, you're in the business of this kind of shady stuff. The manager, the publicist of a star, is not under oath, it turns out. So they could pretty much say anything they want.
Yeah, I mean, of course they could say, but to go to the extent of saying that he's sitting on the couch eating a turkey sandwich seems like something you wouldn't make up. You know, I think most publicists or managers would be like, no, that's just not true. It's a fake story. But, you know, he was very honest and said, I went over to his house because I was worried about him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, what about people at the restaurant? I mean, did they have eyewitnesses there? I mean, was he...
No, there was just, the story came out and that was about it. And so, you know, we just went out there and proved that it was not a true story.
How about that? So you think it was a completely false story?
I do.
What about the part where he was hanging out with Capri Anderson?
Well, that was...
Because she's the real deal.
Well, that was from, obviously, over, you know, back in New York. That story was where he was hanging out with her. That one was true.
All right.
And now she's trying to go after him, suing him, saying that she was locked in the bathroom against her will, and she wants to get him back into jail for violating his probation. I don't know.
Oh,
definitely would have been hanging out, you know, a couple days ago.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about your ridiculous, stupid quake predictor guy.
This guy's... A moron.
Listen, I know. We had him on like 3 weeks in a row. We had this guy on this quakepredictions.com, and we were talking to him about his Twitter and how he kept saying there was going to be a 6.5 to a 7.0 earthquake,
and
a 98%
chance. People out.
Yeah, no, everyone's like, I even saw a Dr. Drew retweet.
Yeah, he did. And we mocked him for that. He's like, I don't know what I was thinking. So we talked to the guy and we said, you know, it's not going to happen. We'll talk to you after the prediction. We did. He said, oh, no. Now I factored that in. It's going to happen 3 days from now. So we talked to him again.
He was so full of it.
Yeah. So we got him to say, if it doesn't happen over the weekend, we're going to talk to you on Monday and you promise to take your site down. And he said, okay. And then we booked an interview with him on that Monday and then he flaked. And
yeah, he wouldn't come on.
We haven't heard from him since. Now he's predicting there's going to be an earthquake during Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, he's saying there's a 98% chance.
That's always his number.
And where is it supposed to be?
Up in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Okay.
For Game 7.
So he's like, for sure it's going to be a 5 to 5.5 quake. And then everyone at like the United States Geological Survey says, no, dude, you need to stop your website. You need to move on.
Oh, they did. Oh, good. Yeah, because I had some research done, and there have been 100 5.0 earthquakes in the past month. 100.
Yeah.
So, really, this guy's just going to keep predicting until he's right, and then he's going to go, look, I told you. But if you predict every day, he predicted 21 earthquakes this month, or
last
month.
But at a certain point, don't you think the government has to step
I would
in
think
and go,
so.
You're freaking people out.
I would think
stop.
So. We used our influence the best we could.
And our power.
We have zero power and zero influence. So, we yelled at him. It didn't help, but... You guys put this up, but at least you were nice enough to say it. You're like nice enough to put predictor in quotes, which is good, and then to say that he's full of crap. But what else are you working on? Anything else, Dex? Before we go,
Lindsay Lohan.
What's going on?
What's
there?
Her story?
Well, she's actually trying to make amends with her old friends because I don't know if you guys followed our stories with she would. Basically, anyone that come to her and say, dude, you got a problem, you need to get yourself some help, she just dropped them out of her life.
Sure.
She's actually emailing all of her old friends that she dropped out of her life saying, I'm sorry, I want to be friends with you, because she's got 2 hours worth of email time on the weekends at Betty Ford Center.
Right.
And so she's using those.
That's
to,
part of the 12-step process, right? Is that a good sign?
You got to say I'm sorry.
That's
and,
a good sign.
You know, try to get her friends back.
But not her dad.
Not her dad. And by the way, did you see what her dad dressed up like for Halloween?
No.
A police officer.
He's such a giant ass.
And you know what? So did Paris Hilton's parents.
Really?
Yeah. I like all these parents that have kids that are running it, you know, having all the run-ins with the law, dressing up as cops.
We're a cop. This is us. If we would have done this when they were kids, they wouldn't be slack.
Exactly.
All right, Dax, you're the best. Thank you. TMZ.com is where to find more information about all these stories, and we appreciate giving Harvey our best.
All right, bye, guys.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, just before we get to your showbiz beat, we have time just for a moment with. Would you mind?
No, please.
From an hour ago.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Conviction, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. What was Conviction? What was
conviction.
Number 10? Conviction.
I don't know.
Conviction.
They might be talking about, what was the oh, man.
Let's just
Let's move
look
on.
That up and
figure it out later.
What was the one with the...
I need this in its full length. In its full length, I need this.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Technically, that was a moment and a half.
Yeah. Really wasn't a moment. I just stopped.
You really did. You could not continue.
Stop talking, stop thinking. You just really put a screeching halt to the proceedings. It wasn't even like I screwed anything up. I just stopped.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's that guy.
Here's that guy who just stopped. We were talking about Conviction being number 10 at the box office this weekend. Number 9 was The Town, the Ben Affleck heist movie. Very entertaining film. Life as We Know It was number 8. Social Network was 7. Secretariat, the horse movie, was 6th. Hereafter was 5th. Jackass 3D came in number 4. Then Red, Paranormal Activity. And at number 1, Saw 3D. No surprise, over the holiday weekend, made $24.2 million in its debut weekend. So congratulations. You know, Charlie Sheen, I heard you guys talking to the TMZ team about this.
There's a lot of stories.
Adventure in New York when he destroyed that suite, and the porn star Capri Anderson felt locked behind a door in the bathroom, and she feared for her life, and now she's going to sue Charlie, and she's pissed off because she didn't get her $12,000 in whore money. And
Hey, if that's her price and she negotiates ahead of time. Come on now.
$12,000.
She's hot. Have you seen her?
You charge what you can.
She's not $12,000 hot.
She is if you're Charlie Sheen. What's that to him? He's got in his pot and change.
She didn't make a special Sheen rate. I mean, that's what she charges to spend the evening with her. $12,000. The parts of her better glow in the dark or something. There better be something special about her anatomy that other women don't have.
She's pretty hot.
Yeah. You can get pretty hot for $5,000 too, my friend. Trust me. It's for $3,000. You can get really hot for $3,000. $12,000?
Yeah, that's a lot.
She better do circus tricks or juggle or do like a one-woman show.
God, she's hot.
There's got to be other Playboy stuff included hot. In that. Anyway, what Charlie's really worried about, according to insiders, is a video or audio tape of the evening's activities.
Oh.
A friend of the troubled actor says Charlie is terrified that a tape exists.
All right.
And that it might see the light. Security cameras at the restaurant or hotel could have caught his outrageous behavior. And also, there's still the fact of his missing cell phone. The reason everyone's so concerned about Charlie's phone is it contains text messages, phone numbers, and even potentially damaging video and audio.
Wow, he's dumb.
So, you know, he's got a lot to lose over at CBS with $2 million an episode for the TV show he's making. The friend says if audio services of Charlie using racial slurs or ranting like Mel Gibson, everything could be in jeopardy. So they're desperately trying to find his phone as well as check all the security cameras at the restaurant and hotel to make sure that no damaging video or audio evidence exists. Because that's the world we live in, people.
It is.
Big Brother's always right around the corner. Big event this weekend in Washington, D.C. Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert gathered their faithful fans together for a rally to restore sanity and or fear, depending on which side you were looking at. The mall was packed. Estimated number in attendance was 215,000 fans of The Daily Show and The Colbert Report. Apparently there was quite a mix of comedy and music for about 3 hours. They didn't get very political, which is good news for the people in attendance. Stephen Colbert emerged on stage in a capsule looking like one of the Chilean miner rescued. With that thing they sent down, that's how he appeared on stage. He also wrote a poem called Mein Poem, which was read by Sam Waterston. Cat Stevens, Ozzy Osbourne, and the OJs teamed up for Peace Train, Crazy Train, and Love Train. They had like a train series of movies.
I have some audio of that if you want.
Oh, I'd love to hear those songs. Yeah. I hear Ozzy in there. I don't hear the other artists, though. That's not a problem. Apparently, a good time was had by all. You know why I can't think? It's this room. It's 107 degrees in here. And I feel like I've got some sort of malaria. I think I'm feverish and I'm about to fall over.
I know. I hate to complain because we're not digging ditches and stuff, but it is 1,000 degrees in here with all this electronics.
Doing radio in a sauna.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
It really is.
Talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Penn Badgley of Gossip Girl is 24 years old today. Bo Bice. Remember him from American Idol? Bo Bice?
No.
No, that's a different Bo. He's 35 years old today. Jenny McCarthy is 38 years old, as is Toni Collette. And Rick Allen of Def Leppard celebrates his 47th birthday. Anthony Kiedis, frontman for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, celebrates his 48th birthday.
We should talk to that band about their book, don't you think?
Would you like to talk about the book?
We should.
How about if I get on the phone and have him come in on Thursday?
You have that kind of power?
You have that kind of power?
Consider it done.
The band? All three?
All of them.
All right.
All over. Have many, as many members as there are will be here.
Okay.
I will make that happen.
Wow. That's good of you.
Anything else?
Def Leppard.
All right.
I'd like to have them all
in,
too.
They're coming in. I'll have them on Thursday as well. We'll have a battle of the bands.
Slayer?
Rick Allen. Just wave that one stump around. It'll be awesome. We'll have a good time.
Without request?
We can have a drum off.
Are that good?
Between Chad.
Die Antwoord?
Die Antwoord?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll have them in, too.
All right. Okay.
Anybody else? Anything?
That's good. I think that'll do us. It'll hold us over.
How about Lewis Black tomorrow? You want Lewis Black on tomorrow?
Love that.
I want to make that happen.
Roger right. Legend Pedro Guerrero?
No, he's not coming. He's doing drugs with O.J. Simpson's girlfriend.
Allegedly.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. This Thursday, we are going to travel after the show, right after the show on Thursday.
Immediately after.
We are going to go to Las Vegas. And the reason we're doing Vegas. That is because Vegas rules.
Yes.
And because we're having a Vegas singles party. So we're going to give away some singles tickets right now. And we're looking for your best Vegas moments.
Yeah.
Last
week, we talked about worst Vegas moments.
And we all have them.
And we all have them. And yeah. We realized, wow, we're inviting a bunch of losers to this party.
Exactly.
These people have really failed in a spectacular way. That may not be the best people to have at a singles party. Because you want to meet winners, right?
Yeah.
Right. But I'm guessing even these people that we talk to that have good stories also have plenty of bad ones.
But at least they've had this moment.
Yes.
They've had this recollection they can always point to and say, yeah, I went to Vegas once and this spectacular thing happened to me.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the number. It's Kevin and Bean's Vegas Road Trip Singles Party at Luxor, Las Vegas.
I'm renting a party bus and taking all you regulars to Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas.
It's Kevin and Bean's
Vegas Road Trip
Singles Party. So at least you know everybody there is single. Everybody kind of has your same taste in music.
All right.
So you
all listen to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right.
Which may or may not be a good thing.
But you all have that in common.
That's right.
Bad taste.
You have horrible taste in radio. Yeah, that you can share.
All right. Let's start with Jackie. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Your best moment in Vegas.
I got a free trip from one of my friends up in Seattle, and my girlfriend and I, we just got bottle service every night. It was really great.
That's a good start.
Wait, yeah. What's ball service?
No, bottle service.
Okay,
not
good.
Ball service.
Just checking.
It's a different story.
I wanted to sign up for that. All right, go ahead.
I bet you did.
And we were at the pool at Planet Hollywood, and the DJ there ended up chasing me down and wanted to hang out, and he ended up being the DJ for Justin Timberlake.
Oh, JT.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was attracted to you?
Yeah, he ran down towards the door when I was leaving.
Awesome.
Wow.
Hey, don't go, please don't go. Did he grab your ankle and hold on to it?
No, but he's pretty short, so he probably could have, held on to a knee. And
so did you go back and party with JT?
We were supposed to have dinner with him one night, but we ended up leaving a day early.
Oh, what? You missed out on JT. But you had JT DJ instead.
did you hump the DJ?
I did.
Yeah! Yes!
All right.
Yes!
That's a great
Jackie's
question.
Our kind of girl.
In.
So you had a free trip. You
You're
got
in.
To party with Justin Timberlake's DJ, and you got a little something-something.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds
a good,
good
trip.
You're in. Thank
You're
you, Jackie.
In.
We will. We'll see you Thursday, and then Friday we're going to do the morning show from there, and that's not going to go well.
Oh,
I'm just saying that right now.
Here's the thing: the only guy who doesn't drink on the show will be on vacation on Friday, so the rest of us are going to be hungover and or still drunk.
Look,
I'll be hungover. Kevin will be still
I
drunk.
I do my best work when drunk.
That's not true.
Let's say hi to Susie. Hi, Susie.
Hi.
Hi,
Susie.
Sorry about the late sound effect. All right.
Kevin's sober. And this is what he sounds like today. Imagine what Friday's going to be like.
I'm just saying.
That was me.
I'm just saying she shouldn't say hello before the sound effect. Because then.
There we go.
Sense.
Let's
All
go
right.
to Susie.
Hey, Susie.
Hi.
Give us your best Vegas moment.
Went randomly to Vegas, ended up at Cal, partied with Tito Ortiz that night, and then after that we went to Dre's, and we partied with Suge Knight that night.
Oh, you're a little celebrity hound.
She's lucky.
Suge. No,
ended
it was
well.
Random.
Suge Knight.
That could have ended badly.
Wait a minute, both of those were random?
I don't know if I want to be in Suge Knight in Vegas.
I don't know either.
Without Kevlar.
We went to the after hours at Dre's.
Right, they opened at 2 a.m. whenever,
Yeah, right after Tal, we went to Dre's, and
but
we
then, but let me ask you a question, Rocky. When you see Suge, I'm sorry,
Susie.
When you see Suge Knight, don't you go the other way?
Yes, we were terrified.
Okay, good.
All right, she has common sense.
All right, good.
To make sure you're a sensible young lady.
All right.
we did party with Tito Ortiz, and then when we got to Dre's, Suge Knight's people came over and asked us if we wanted to go sit at his table. We took a good look at him. We were like, no, that's okay. But he ended up coming over, and we asked him for a picture instead.
Oh.
I mean, Susie's hot, too.
Yeah.
The guys were scouting her out, trying to bring her in for Suge.
Yep.
All right.
Of course, she's got a big booty.
Yeah, huge ass.
No.
How big is your butt, Susie, before we make our decision?
We need inches and weight of each cheek.
Good size butt.
All right.
All right.
Was Jenna Jameson there with Tito? Did you party with her,
no,
too?
No, no, no. He was there partying with, he had his own table, and she was nowhere to be found.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
But we thought it was his birthday that night, so we kept saying happy birthday to him. It turned out it wasn't his birthday.
It's everybody's birthday in Vegas.
So Susie's a drinker.
All right,
I
good.
Like Susie.
All right, Susie, you're on board.
You're in.
I'm on board.
Yes.
We will see you on Thursday.
Happy to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Now make sure if you are calling in, you can get off work Thursday and Friday because we're going to need you to leave early, right. Early on Thursday.
Like Thursday, noonish. We're going as soon as we can.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's the plan. All right, let's go to Amy. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
What was your best? Good timing, you two. What was your best trip to Vegas ever? What's your best memory?
Okay, so I had just turned 21, and I was at the roulette wheel. I won $1,000, and then on the way back to my hotel room, we were staying at the Venetian top floor. Uh-huh. I was walking back with my friends, and I took off my heels because my feet were really sore, and I ended up getting a piggyback ride from a really hot guy.
Who all right.
Back to our apartment.
Is that code? Piggyback? It's not even code, is it? It's just
no,
you got a piggyback ride.
Got a piggyback ride.
Then did you give him a fronty back ride? I don't even know what fronty back ride means, but I mean sex.
Amy is the answer to the question, who plays roulette? That's the she's the answer.
She's the answer who wins at roulette.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's why, though. I mean, I don't
it's
know.
It's a while.
All right.
Yeah. You want a grand.
That's $1,000.
Not too shabby.
You're in.
All right. We'll give you a piggyback ride when we see you on Thursday.
All right, thank you. Let's take one more, and that is Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
All right, we're taking your best Vegas moments. This is about your 21st birthday?
Yes, 21st birthday. Lost my ID the night before. Wanted the big night to be going to the Palms, and my girlfriends were like, let's dress you up really slutty. Don't worry, they'll get you in. Didn't work out. So outside the club at the Palms, we're crying. All of a sudden, we hear, hey, ladies, want to party with the Weasel? We're like, what? Who is
whoa,
this?
With the Weasel.
Pauly Shore happens to whisk us away. And he completely snuck us into Body English, literally got us in, and repeatedly tried to make out with all of us girls. But we
how was he?
Him. What's that?
How was he in bed?
Oh, it didn't happen.
Come on.
So you just used Pauly Shore.
Scout's honor.
That's what she should have done. You use him and then you ditch him,
Pauly
right?
Pauly Shore, are you kidding?
That's what I mean.
So we had Suge Knight. We have just,
I'm in favor of it.
Justin Timberlake. We had Tito Ortiz. And now we have the Weez.
Pauly Shore. The Weez.
All right, Michelle, you're in. We'll see you on Thursday.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Go, Vegas, here I come.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for a final look at the Showbiz Beat today.
You went to Katy Perry and Russell Brand's wedding, didn't you, Kevin, when you were on vacation? Didn't you go to India and hang out with them at the Tiger Reserve?
No, I was cutting off heads in Mexico.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They got a ton of amazing wedding gifts, as you can imagine. One is rather unique. Russell is a longtime animal activist and a vegetarian. He must have been so happy when that tiger was beaten into submission that was crashing his wedding. I don't know if you heard or not, but
I didn't hear that.
They're having a wedding at a tiger reserve, at a wildlife reserve.
Right.
In India.
It was the tiger's home?
It was the tiger's home.
Okay.
And the tiger hears music and sees lights around 10 p.m. and goes, hey, what's going on over there? And it comes over, and this tiger, true, had killed 3 people in the past year.
Right. But they were having a wedding on purpose there?
They were having a wedding in the middle of his home.
Okay.
He shows up, and a team of guys beat the tiger down with clubs and send it running back off into the jungle.
Pretty sure that's not what anyone really wanted.
Wow. Okay.
No, I'm sure that's not what anyone wanted, but the tiger least of all. I guarantee you that was
one sure
of
right.
all the people who didn't want it to happen, the tiger was at the top of that list of what he didn't want to happen.
They brought a DJ and a disco ball to his home.
That's right.
And then got mad that he was upset.
Anyway, Russell's a longtime animal rights activist.
Yes.
Apparently. Not all the time. And he got a gift of a bullock. You know what a bullock is?
No, I don't.
Bullock is a young bull.
Okay.
And so they gave him a bullock that had been used for daily work there in India, pulling heavy loads and and doing slave labor for some Indian someplace.
Right.
As they knew it would be a nice gesture for him as an animal rights activist to have this bull freed from its burden.
Okay.
And being allowed to roam free.
Makes sense.
Wherever Russell wants to put it, because it's his now. He's got to do something with it.
Oh, wow.
So he's got to find a home for the bull.
Okay.
He really owns it.
He really owns it. It's really his. The bull's name? Russell.
Really?
That, apparently before they even gave it to him, his name was Russell.
Oh, stop.
Yes, I would call this bird Russell.
That's not
and
possible.
He would carry my plow for many years. So, no word yet on where they're going to send Russell the Bullock, but he will be roaming free soon. So, congratulations.
You're going to turn him loose in the Russell Tiger Sanctuary and then be upset.
Beat him with sticks. Tiger eats it. Paul Abdul says, in retrospect, she thinks she may have come across poorly on her days of American Idol.
No!
In fact, she admits that it's possible she could have seemed like a numbskull.
No!
But she says she has no regrets. I don't regret being passionate about young talent.
The reason that you're shaking up this whole competition is that you dare to dance in the path of greatness.
She said she gave a lot to the show, but is happy she chose to move on. And by choosing to move on, you mean when they fired you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's going to be hosting a new show soon, so look for her on a television near you sometime soon.
Just watching you, I feel what you're just feeling so much joy, and it's exciting. I feel I'm one big goosebump, and I just am so excited for you because look at you. I mean, this is it for you. This is it for you. You're so good.
Wow, what are they applauding? Makes no sense whatsoever.
How are they going to replace that?
Speaking of animals and animal rights, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, they've made an offer to Lindsay Lohan. Now, they know Lindsay eats meat like cheeseburgers, tacos, pepperoni pizza.
Sausage.
They say they are willing to pay for her rehab if she can conquer her addiction to meat and cheese. If she will become a vegetarian, while she's at Betty Ford Clinic, they will give her $10,000 to put towards her bills there at the rehab.
I like meat.
If she stays off the meat, she will get another $10,000, making a grand total of $20,000 just for giving up meat. I don't see Lindsay ever giving up meat. Well, she did date Samantha Ronson for a while.
For a little while.
Maybe she can give up meat.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if forever, though, meat or not. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
There's another company, a porn company called Tube8.com.
Yeah.
That claims they have a marketing position open.
Marketing?
And they want Lindsay to fill their opening.
Oh! By eating tube?
No. Oh. By coming on board for $48,000 and being their new marketing person. I don't know if Lindsay is familiar with tube8.com, but they apparently are a free porn website, and I guess they're just looking for a little publicity from Lilo once she gets out of the rehab.
I'd like to see her go straight to porn. I think that's a good step.
She's got plenty of time to think about these offers since she won't be out till after New Year's. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Remember we were joking? We said the judge sentenced her to get out January 3rd, and we were like, oh, is that so she won't be available on New Year's Eve?
Right.
That's why he did it, so she wouldn't be available on New Year's
Eve.
Oh,
I don't doubt
it. That makes sense.
Yeah. He said it in the courtroom. He said, it's not a coincidence that you won't be getting out until after New Year's Eve. I want to make sure that there will be no celebrating on your part. So.
Wow.
Big movie weekend at the box office. Halloween weekend, of course, which leads you to believe horror movies would be in vogue, and they certainly were. Saw 3D.
Saw 3D. What's wrong with you?
I am tired.
He's sweating. He's dehydrated.
I'm sweating and tired. Saw 3D, $24.2 million, made in its debut weekend, making it number one this weekend. Paranormal Activity 2, $16.5 million, made it number two. Red. $10.8 million was third at the box office. Jackass 3D and Hereafter round out the top five. Then Secretariat, The Social Network, Life as We Know It, The Town, and Conviction rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Here's a quick note. If you're having dinner, not the time to bring up that you saw Jackass 3D yesterday.
Did you find that out?
No, I did, but because my friend, who's an idiot, went to see Jackass 3D, and then at dinner, we were all eating, and he was bringing, oh, remember when they...
Oh, when he started to describe in detail
all the stuff. You go, listen, dude, if I'm the voice of reason, come on.
Especially if you're having, like, a chili burger or something, you don't want to bring up.
There are parts of that movie maybe you shouldn't bring up while eating. That's the only point. Back to you.
These stars were born on November the 1st. It's November already. It's already November.
Yeah.
Sweated them already.
You know, it's funny. Last night we were giving out candy to the little trick-or-treaters at the house, and is always the case. Either you have 17 bags of candy left over, or you buy what you think is enough, and you run out about halfway through the
You
the
better
event.
Go get more, though.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
We were running low, and I said, I gotta got more candy. More. I was like, no, just give one piece away. You can make that last. I said, no, it's not going to happen, because I know we're going to get slammed, and then we're the bad people. So I ran to the store to get some trick-or-treat candy, some Halloween candy, and I go to the supermarket, and the aisle where they keep the candies, where they have all the seasonal stuff there, and just 5 minutes ago, they were hanging pumpkins and things to carry the candy in, and candy, and pitchforks, and costumes.
Right.
I round, literally it was the day before, I round the corner, and I go to get the candy, and then now it's just all Christmas stuff.
Oh.
Stockings and Santas and everything. It just like that.
Wow.
They literally, that day, they put up all their Christmas stuff.
Did you at least get those little Santa chocolates?
So everyone got candy canes for me for Halloween.
Sorry, kids.
A lot of confused children at my door. It was very strange. No, they had some candy left over, so I got a pretty good deal. It was all right. Today's celebrity birthdays on November the 1st. Penn Badgley of Gossip Girl turns 24 years old today. Former American Idol contestant Bo Bice. The Bice Squad. Remember the Bice Squad?
No.
His fans were the Bice Squad.
No. Yeah, yeah. Kind of.
Bice Squad.
Miami Bice?
Miami Bice.
I remember his song, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. That was the song that everyone had to record if you won American Idol that year. That was the one you had to put out.
Strange choice.
He's 35. Jenny McCarthy's 38 years old today. Toni Collette celebrates her 38th birthday. Rick Allen of Def Leppard is 47 years old today. And Anthony Kiedis, front man for the Red Hot Chili Mother Effin' Peppers, is 48 years old today.
They have a new song. You want to hear it?
Sure.
All right, I can't.
You can't pull that off.
No.
Anthony and the other fellas from RHCP will be stopping by the show this week. Thursday, I believe.
Thursday, we have the entire band on.
Yeah,
how about that?
It's pretty cool. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Jason Mayhem Miller in the studio talking about Bully Beatdown.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
That boy crazy.
He is.
Mayhem.
See him when he was coming into his last, I think it was his last fight, when he was dancing with the cheerleaders and stuff.
Awesome.
It's unbelievable.
He has a good time.
Yeah. Funny man Lewis Black in the studio tomorrow.
Unbelievable.
He is promoting a project called I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas.
Is it new, his Christmas CD? Or
I imagine it is.
DVD? I hope so.
Christmas something.
He's a funny man.
He is a funny man, so we're going to have him in studio. We have, let's see here. We have, we have Kevin and Bean Vegas Road Trip Singles Party tickets.
Give away more tickets to our Vegas trip.
That is this Thursday and Friday. We're leaving right after the show Thursday. We're going to party on Thursday night, and then Friday morning we're going to attempt to do this show live from Vegas, which never goes well.
That's a bad idea.
And then Friday night, we're going to stay and party as well. So if you'd like to come with us.
I'm going to the radio on Friday.
What did you do? Sometimes I slur when I drink.
Yeah.
Most of the time I slur when I don't. Kat is up next.
But there's always slurring. We know that much for sure.
Kat is up next. She has 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including some Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. Sure, I bet. Sublime.
That's a good guess.
Yeah.
And Apocalyptica.
Probably the latest one from Mumford & Sons.
Right, that's
coming up right now.
It's actually next.